Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
We ain't telling y'all shit.
Clear. Concise.
No, stop.
To the point.
That was not the
direct
clip.
Automatic.
Was that even three
understood
seconds?
Leveled up, poignant.
Come on, level
timeless
up.
Concise, precise.
Still here.
This week we're going straight to the point. It's Black History Month. We're not pulling no punches. We're not playing no games. The hashtag literally speaks for itself. We ain't telling y'all shit. You can apply it to whatever you would like to.
Okay, wherever
it is all encompassing. It is the umbrella of hashtags, and it is so in alignment with Black History Month because we have never been afforded the opportunity to learn our own history. Now that we do, we have what is called culture vultures that are trying to take and poach everything that we have. And my girl, Tisha the Campbell, hit him with what, baby?
We ain't telling y'all shit.
With that being said, known, and most importantly understood, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell, H-E double hockey sticks,
no,
wants a musty brain?
Not me, no.
And see, we already right here at one. Repeat the thing. I made a song
early.
That was nasty. Remember when he made that weird ass song about
let me show you how that pussy works.
Yeah,
oh,
something.
Don't
it was so vulgar.
Me. I can't
believe.
Because I love me some Brian McKnight.
But you know what?
What the hell was he going through?
Okay, so I don't know for certain, but I think he did that for that College Humor website. I think he did. Because when we saw it, when it was going viral.
Let's say that that's what happened.
Yeah, because when it was going viral, it wasn't on College Humor. I remember being like, what?
And who wants a nasty song to go viral? That just don't even sound right. Like, what you
but
like?
That's like, remember when JT had Dick in the Box?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, but it,
but that was an SNL skit.
Yeah, that was a skit. I think Brian McKnight really was releasing nasty music.
No, he wasn't. And I'm going to tell you why I know this. You remember I used to work at a restaurant?
Don't tell me they was playing
and he
it.
Would, no. Oh. I wish they would have. He was sitting at the bar one day, and I was like, I got to ask him. And people was like, don't bother that man. I was like, he at the bar. He don't give a shit. You know, when you see people at a bar sometimes, like, they got time.
God.
They pissed, but they got
Asante,
time.
You did
I was like, oh my God, Brian McKnight, you are so cool. My mom loves you. You know, you made music for the ages, but did you make that song on purpose? And he started laughing. He was like, I guess you're just going to have to see. I'm like, I know he ain't made that on purpose. Because it's Brian McKnight. He would have came out with a whole nasty
first of all, answer the question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, second of all, I'm dead at Asante saying, my mama loves you.
But did you make that song
not
on purpose?
Not me. My mama. Yeah,
look, you know it's always shit when you do that to somebody.
That's
it's not on purpose. Because I don't want him to think I want an autograph or something. You know, when they're like, oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, my mama loves you. Okay. And you can get the ego part out the way. It's like, let me take you down just a little bit so you know why I'm really here.
No.
But now that you have been welcomed to the friend zone,
yes,
an announcement was made recently, and we want to make sure that we are letting you all know and keeping you all aware and in the know. But the Friend Zone Life has released our spring tour dates.
Yeah.
We'll be kicking off in Atlanta on March 31st. The VIP is sold out. The show might sell out. So if that happens, don't email us and ask us what the problem is. We have let you know. Along with that date, we also have May 12th on the docket for Chicago, Illinois. Please come out and see us. We love being in Chi City.
Yes.
And last but definitely not least, L.A.
L.A.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, baby.
We're going to be in the building June 16th. Go get all of the tickets at thefriendzonelive.com.
And that's two new markets for us. We have not been to Atlanta together.
No.
And we have not been to L.A. together.
No.
Amen.
I'm so excited.
And we're actually going to be in Atlanta twice in one month.
Asante,
the birthday boy.
Hey. Oh, my God. It is my birthday next month.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. In literally a month.
Can't be red over here.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is really, really crazy to actually talk to you guys about my birthday because you guys were there for, like, a very, very special birthday of mine.
Yeah.
Dustin, I will never forget. You actually probably gave me the most special birthday of my life, that surprise birthday.
That was so nice of you, man.
No, for real. For real. Like, I still really, really remember when you were talking about that restaurant with Crystal. You're like, oh, I want to go there. And you were making plans to go there with Crystal or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's going to be so cool, just randomly. And we left the studio. I wasn't thinking nothing about it. I'm like, oh, are we going wherever we going? And we went to the restaurant she was talking about with Crystal. Yeah. And it was a surprise.
And you were genuinely surprised.
Yes, I was.
I'm so glad.
Thank you guys
so
for that.
So cute. Well, next one's going to be even better.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait, you guys. But with all that out of the way, how have you guys been? How was your weekends?
Good. A lot of work. Honestly, it's tough because you guys know I like to set a boundary on the weekends. That's usually my time. But it hasn't worked out that way this month. It's been a very busy month, which I'm super grateful for. But that also means But that also means, you know, less time with my plants and
gotta water them plants now.
So I have to, you know, rework my schedule and figure out how to I can't even speak English. See,
that's okay.
Even my body's rebelling. I got to figure out how to fit in meditation and, you know, all the things that keep me calm and cool. So that's probably going to be the project for next month. What about you guys? How are your weekends?
My weekend was good. I've been doing a lot of planning for a lot of things that I have coming up. I'm going to have a very crazy announcement next week.
Yeah.
But before that one, I will be in Harlem doing the Back to Black pop-up shop with Moselle from Palm Pet Wine Shop. We're going to be hosting a curated shopping emporium, for all your senses. And that's going to be held at 259 West 132nd Street, La Maison d'Arts. And just working on all the crazy cool things I have and trying not to stress about turning 30 next year.
Oh,
next month. See?
Nothing to stress about. 30s are amazing.
Yeah, they are, but it's just like a weird... I never thought about it, but it is a weird transitional period in time and a lot of things kicking up like the dirt just in your face. You're like, what the fuck am I doing with all this?
But, oh, yeah, for sure. But it's a good thing.
It is.
Because you're clearing out everything that doesn't have to be there, then you're not taking into your 30s.
Like Young B, let it rain and clear it out.
You know?
It's raining right now. I'm just waiting to clear it out.
Friend, we'll get there, but we're not there yet. Okay.
What about you, Dustin? Out.
I had a very grateful weekend. And even though I got food poisoning, I really wasn't even worried about it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, trooped it, man.
I did what I had to do, literally. But yeah, that was it. And, you know, food poisoning is such a, you know, disheartening experience. You know what I'm saying?
The worst.
I mean, you literally are being tossed around and thrown about, you know what I mean, and just drugged down the street like Mama Joyce said she was gonna do Carmen. And I just have, you know, vomiting in and of itself is just a very harrowing experience, you know what I mean. Yes. And I have been to the wall and back and I ain't going no more. So I don't know if I'm finna be a vegan or I don't know. Straight up. I don't know if I'm finna. I don't know if I'm about to just drink water and eat lettuce. I don't know what I'm about to do, but like I cannot go back.
Brother.
I can't go back. I cannot go back. So
never going back.
I don't know if I can be like, okay, so you know how like Rachel Dolezal just decided to be black? Like, can I just like, even though I eat chicken thighs, can I just be vegan? Like, I just want to identify as vegan. Yeah.
I mean, listen, Dustin, you can be whatever you want to be.
That's what Rachel Dolezal said. That, you know what I'm saying? I could do shit like that. So that's where I'm coming from with it. So that's my weekend. What else is going on?
Well, first, before we get started, thank you guys so much for the push with the Target campaign.
Yeah.
Those images, first of all, did amazingly well. I have to thank you guys because it's your engagement, your likes, hashtagging, adding Target, all that energy just really propelled the campaign for me, which was amazing. It's ended up being like my most liked picture on Instagram, which is insane considering how many years I've been online. So that was really dope and unexpected. It only works when you guys push like that. I do my part and you guys help me by doing that. So I had to take the time out to thank you so much. Stop harassing Target though, y'all. They've been on their page like, where's Hey Fred? Hey. I love y'all though. That should crack me up. But y'all about to get me fired before I even got the second picture out.
Not on your off day, friend.
We letting them know.
But y'all have been hilarious. Target posted a picture of a little kid and somebody was like, cute or whatever, but where's friend?
Okay. I was like, they had to ask the question.
No, not the 5-year-old. Y'all don't play.
All ages. Hey, we got to get to the point here. Where is Fran? Okay.
No, but I appreciate that you guys felt compelled to do that. But leave all the comments on my page. Well, I see them and I can handle them. I love you guys so, so much. I have two more images coming out. One this week, one next week. Of course, I ask you guys to show the same amount of love. Obviously, if you love the pictures and feel compelled to. But either way, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. That's what sustains us as creatives and as digital folk. So thank you. Thank you for helping me with that. You guys ready to jump into this week's show?
As ready as I'm going to be, yes. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So on last week's show, we had an episode titled Working With Your Friends, where we shared some of the pros, the cons, the challenges, and some tips, especially because most of us here on this show and around us work with our friends on different projects. So we shared tips on how to do that successfully, productively, and without killing each other. Asante's already cracking.
You know,
up.
This is going to be a funny ass, fun ass episode. But I'm just going. This is going to be fun. Just sorry, friend.
No, that's a good thing. You're already laughing. We didn't even start yet. And of course, as always, you guys had a ton of things to say. So who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to Tor in the emails. I was going to say your real name, but I don't know if you actually want that. Because the subject is, what about couples in business?
Ooh.
And Tor writes in, so we've been together 2 years. My girlfriend, she's a musician, and I'm a graphic designer. Between her manager, herself, and I, we're the only ones who create content for her brand. I don't remember if I volunteered or if she asked me to be her designer, but fast forward, we always get into it over that. She thinks I don't have the desire to work with her, when the reality is, when you go to work at an agency all day and then you come home to do someone else's work, you lose time for yourself and sleep. I've taken y'all's advice and her advice on how to stay motivated after work, as we've addressed this issue so many times that I don't know if I'm the problem. Mm. So I just thought that it was crazy that she wrote that in, because we didn't touch on couples at all. And then she also goes in to write, I've also expressed to her that while I am a graphic designer by trade, this is what keeps our lights on for now and not what I see myself doing for life. I want to be a creative director / filmmaker. So when those types of jobs come up within her brand, I'm always on it and excited to do it. But designing graphics for her can be a full-time job in its own. I just thought that it was funny that she said that, because I think about working with your friends sometimes. It's hard for friends even to draw the line. And in this situation, a relationship of knowing the difference between, you know, helping your friend and them helping you and it being mutually beneficial versus it being like, I want my friend to do all this work because I know that that's what they want to do. So I'm going to run them through the ringer and see what I can get out of it. Right. And I just think that people don't take that into consideration sometimes, like how her partner isn't taking into consideration, like, yeah, I'm working for you and doing stuff for you. But like, girl, I just came home from work and I'm working for you now.
Right. So, gone somewhere.
Right. So I thought that was very important to touch on, because sometimes as friends, we don't step outside of ourselves to see what's going on with our other friends, especially when we're in business mode. Right. So I wanted to say that. What about you, friend? What you find on the SoundCloud streets?
Actually, I'm going to tap into Dustin's.
Come on around the corner! A little detour, okay?
So Sunset Sealy. Actually,
ooh,
I love
a name. You hear me? Because we all know what Sealy was doing at Sunset.
But I love that her other name is Fineapple.
Ooh!
So, right?
She got hits, names. Okay?
Now she got hits. She said, as a photographer and graphic designer, I've had friends constantly approaching me requesting free work. It's even worse here in the Caribbean, because creative professionals here get even less respect than in the USA. Friends and family expect freeness or extreme discounts, but ever so often, I do get the ones who approach me with respect and understanding, and even if they can't afford my services, they would lay their budget out and ask if we can do something together or offer trade services. At least that I can appreciate.
Amen.
Yes.
And I think that's the most important part. It's not saying that because I have this skill set and you can't afford me that we can't work together. But just let's make it, like I always say, let's make it an ecosystem. It's the one-sided thing, or you expecting things from your friends. I remember when I first started out on the internet, I still don't know anything about graphic design. I'm not a graphic designer, so I can't make my own flyers. They'll look janky. But Cheska Lee is incredible at graphic design. Even Maya, actually, Shameless Maya, both of them are really amazing. They've always blessed me before I could afford to be paying what we would do is trade off somehow. I would give them, like, with Cheska, we would, like, trade nutritional advice or, like, workout stuff. Like,
dope.
You know what I mean? And then she...
Adding nutritional value to each
other's
lives.
Yeah, and, like, trading tips or whatever she needed, and then she would make me a flyer. You know, like, there was always something that we could do for each other that would kind of contribute to what we had going on individually.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and you also, one thing I forgot to mention, too, like, a lot of my friends, I'll send them work. You know, like, if I know of some project that's looking for a particular person, I'll be like, yo, I know exactly who, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, send your friends work.
Like, yep. Hey, girl, you know, Love & Hip Hop reached out.
Not Love & Hip Hop. Like, my working with my friends doesn't always mean that it has to have anything to do with me. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of the times it can just be you putting in a good word or even being a dot connector. There are people that I see that could work well together somehow. Maybe you're a model, maybe you're a photographer. You guys can help each other with portfolios. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just get creative helping your friends. It doesn't always have to be a draining dynamic. So that's what I found. What about you, Dustin? What did you find in the Twitter streets?
Okay, first of all, I want to say shout out to my connect. No, I'm just playing. First thing I want to do is give a shout out to Ariel Gooden. Hey, y'all know how to spell Ariel. Shit, everybody's seen The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Ariel Gooden, who tweeted, quote, "Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead."
Wow,
end
what?
Quote, Quincy Jones.
So,
I laughed first
that was
and
a
then
good
thought
one.
About it later.
That was a good one. Ariel.
How true.
I mean,
there have never
have
been truer words. Quincy Jones don't give a damn what you got to say about what he had to say. For real.
Yo, that interview.
Hey. And let me tell you something, for Nico Brando and Rain Pryor, your daddies was fucking.
Oh,
it's nothing. It's nothing you can do about it.
What did they say? Were they mad?
They done came out trying to raise. Now, mind you, we ain't never seen or heard from Nico Brando from till now.
Nope.
Rain Pryor always been in the front, but that's just because Richard Pryor was a good dad. You know what I'm saying? He always knew who his daughter was. And, you know, she has her own legitimate accomplishments. But they both have come forward and expressed that, you know, oh, don't believe that. And, you know, I can't believe they're trying to shame my father's legacy. They're trying to shame.
But wait a minute. Richard Pryor was open about his
legacy. Joked about it.
All that's, the time.
Baby, the ex-wife, okay? Or is it ex-wife if... Well, I don't know. The lady that he was married
Not
to.
The
I put
lady.
It to you like that.
Oh, wait.
Because I don't know whether that's the right term. Widow. Were they married?
Didn't she say he would fuck a radiator or
Yeah,
something?
She said it was the 70s, baby. The drugs was good. He would have fucked a radiator.
Oh,
she said he laughed about it. It was something he was open about. Marlon Brando, we've been heard about that story. Nico Brando, dog, you just got to take that L, bruh.
Because
your daddy took the... Well, you know, that's what you know. So I don't know, but something happened. There was some sort of even exchange.
Before the D challenge,
they had an ecosystem, friend. They was helping each other out. Okay, we'll put it like that. So, but yeah, I just wanted to give that shout out to Ariel Gooden.
They had an ecosystem, friend.
Look what he did to my word.
All right, now I would also like to give a shout out to. At KenCam123, who said, "Why is it sounding like Dustin is doing the ad-libs on Quavo's verse for Emoji a Chain with laughing emojis?" I found that hilarious because, number one, that's my favorite song on the album.
I have to listen to it.
And number two, I sing the emojis. I sing the ad-libs instead of the lyrics when I listen to Quavo's verse. So the fact that she said that, it was like, okay, how serious is this Big Brother shit getting that we talked about last week? Like, can she see me?
Oh, shit.
That's really what I'd be singing. How did you know? So I also want to give a quick shout out to @IThinkMark, our friend of the show.
Yes, Mark.
For
we
two
love
reasons.
You.
Okay.
Yes.
Number one, his name on Twitter is Mark Meek Worldwide. That's funny because y'all know Monique's Twitter handle is Mo Worldwide.
But Mark
so
does love
funny.
Us for real. So
Mark tweeted, "My aunt is calling Shake Shack Shake Store." I just thought it was funny.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was funny. I would like to give one last shout-out to Vogue magazine, who tweeted that Raphael Sadiq and Kirby Jean Raymond on the music that bolstered Pyre Moss's Fall 2018 collection in New York Fashion Week.
Hey, Pyre Moss.
And accompanied it with an article about what I saw on Instagram to be one of the most beautiful fashion shows I have ever seen in my life. They had a full choir standing up.
Oh, I saw, because I saw Vic Mensa. He was like standing to the side, right?
Yeah, he was up there. But, you know, it just was gorgeous. The music, the melodies, the harmonies from the choir, it was literally bone chilling. And I'm just so happy that Vogue magazine highlighted it. And I should have known that Rafael Sadiq was behind that. So make sure you check that out.
Of course.
And yeah, that's it. That's it this week, besides my mic falling apart.
Turn around.
So for this week, tying it sort of, threading it rather into last week's episode. So we kind of did a little bit of finger pointing last week. Like, you know, because my friends do this. And they don't know my worth. You know what I mean? So I was thinking today, but what about you? And when I say you, I mean the listener. Let's think back to that quote. You know the quote where people say, I pray to God to get rid of my enemies. I started losing friends, right? Mm-hmm. Or the second one. What's the second one? I prayed to God to remove things that no longer serve me. And I started losing friends. So my question is, what about if it's you, though? You know, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever done an audit on whether you're actually... I won't say you're the shitty friend, but on whether you're the problem, because a lot of the times it's easy for us to point fingers at what everyone else does to us. But if you're the common denominator, or maybe you are lacking awareness sometimes, and it happens to the best of us. A lot of times we be going through shit and we have no idea the impact that what we're going through might have on the people around us, right? So have you taken an audit of you as a person? And
damn,
you know,
friend, don't look at me and judge me.
Have you taken an audit of you as a person, as a friend, as someone who is connected to multiple people? Remember we did the episode with, if we put all your exes in a room and asked them to describe you, what would they say? But what if we did that with all of your friends or all of your peers?
I thought about a party.
What would they say about you? What would be the common threads? What would be the common themes? So, of course...
The common bad ones?
Bad and good.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn, I hear all y'all saying what
But let me start off with the general question. The first one is, do you ever audit yourself as a friend or just even as a person? And I mean really audit yourself, where you sit and ask how you are affecting the people around you. Is that something you ever tried to, like... intentionally bring into your awareness so that you can see how everyone around you feels? I wish y'all could see their faces.
So, yes and no. And the reason I say that is because I don't look at it as an audit of like, damn, am I being a shitty friend? Because I feel like at the end of the day, like, those quotes are very true. Like, both of them. They hood as fuck. That's why I started laughing.
Very but, much tattoos.
Right. Very much
very
ghetto tattoos.
Very much a side of the calf tattoo.
Right. Or across the neck.
With
or,
some praying hands.
Oh, the praying hands with a little dead glow around it. But I think it's hard for me because I think of how selfish I am, just in any aspect. So I feel like... if people start disappearing, even if it's for a good reason or a bad reason, at the end of the day, it's because of me that they're disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like I said, I'm selfish. So, like, when I have thought about, like, giving myself the friend audit, even in that, I'm being selfish because I'm literally trying to figure out, like, what's up with my friend, but because it'll help me sleep better at night.
Right.
And not that I'm consciously doing that for that reason, but I think when I have sat and done, an audit of such with myself, I figured out that I feel like these are the reasons I'm actually checking on my friend. Like, I care about everyone's happiness and I try to be like a good friend and connect, but then sometimes I'm missing the point. Like, if my friends were in a room, I feel like everybody's like, yeah, Sante's cool, but like, and not even in a bad way.
What do you think the but would be? Like, are you even aware of what your friends may feel about you or think about you? Is there like conversations you actually have?
No, to a degree. And I say to a degree because a lot of the time when I'm hanging out with my friends, it's under like really light circumstances and
right.
airy fun things.
Yeah.
And whenever situations have come up, it's usually been, or I've tried to make it be like, okay, you know, let's talk or whatever. But I feel like everybody kind of talks on their own time, which is why sometimes you'll be minding your own business and then someone comes out of nowhere, has an issue, and you didn't know what it was.
Right.
Like the butt for me, my friends would say like, nigga, you don't respond ever. Like, you know, I'm really, exactly. Like, you know, I'm really bad with text messaging. Mm. But, like, I've been really bad with returning phone calls. Like, I've been, and it's like, I don't ever want to compare what I'm doing to anybody else. And I don't want anybody else to do that to me. And I feel like a lot of the time, because in the past, and not even, like, here in New York, just, like, in general as a whole, I've always tried to do a lot of, I've always tried to, like, make myself available for people. And it goes back to my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk to my mom all the time about how we're different. She's like, you know, you're like me and I see it. And sometimes it worries me because, you know, she's just such a nice ass person. And I used to be so much more of my mother than I am now. So, like, there was a time where I was really green. Like if you're my friend, my time is your time. Like, your problems, my problem, your struggles, my, like go through it, do anything for a friend. And I remember in high school, I would give people rides and not ask for gas money because I didn't care. Like, my right. friend had to get somewhere. I was going to drive anyway. I don't care. But you in high school, you ain't got no money. Right. So you need them $2 to $4 or whatever a little bit of asking is.
Well, you're almost like sacrificing yourself for people's comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's selfish in a fact because, like, nobody's asking me to do that. Like, I become another burden when I'm doing that because it's like now, as an outsider, they have to worry about whatever the fuck they're worrying about. And then it becomes a worry of, like, now I got to worry about Asante wondering if he feeling some type of way because I'm not responding, but I'm dealing with my own shit. And because I don't know how to tell him to help me or I don't want his help, like, I can't worry about this. Like, I feel like I open other doors for people sometimes that don't need to be open. And I realize as a friend, like, I can be overbearing sometimes and I just had to learn how to back off. But then sometimes my backing off is too far off and I just be in my own little world and I just be fucked up and wrong.
And I have noticed, I think a theme I've seen coming up with you is boundaries. Like, I could see you've been trying to, like, create them more and mm-hmm. be more a person of, like, no, I don't want to do this or no. You know, like, you've been enforcing them more, I've noticed, which I think is really good.
Not in a bad way.
No, I think I think there comes a time in our lives where we have to test them, you know, like, put them in place and kind of see who can deal with them or not. That's really just how it works. Whether they're aggressive or watery, it's all us figuring it out. But I have noticed that, and I'm always like, okay, Asante.
Well, thank you, friend. I'm just glad that, look, as a
it's
friend.
Awesome.
But look, as a friend and the type of friend that I am, that makes me, like I'm a damn child. It makes me happy to hear the feedback that I'm doing something right in our friendship. Because
see, and that's what I'm saying. I think these are important conversations that friends should have, because boundaries sometimes can even be misunderstood. I remember on tour when we had a section about boundaries, the theme that kept coming up was people being like, but if I didn't have them before and then now I suddenly enforce certain boundaries, my friends are gonna feel a way, you know, or take it personal or assume it's like, oh, you're changing up now, blah blah blah. And so there was this fear of how it would be perceived, as opposed to understanding that it's something you have to do. If that's what your body, your mind, your spirit is saying you need because you've been, whatever, taken advantage of, you know, or people not respecting you in whatever ways, you got to do what you got to do. And I think, or at least in my experience, those who have respected it are the ones who should be there. Because most people will be like, damn, I see you. You know what I mean? Okay. And maybe it'll make them question their own boundaries. And by you creating those, it gives them permission to do the same with their own life.
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's what's happened with me. I've become, listen, my boundaries are hard and clear now because I can't be really nice and green the same way. And what happens is I sacrifice myself, you know, for people. Remember we was talking about service not being humiliation, being mm-hmm. of service doesn't mean sacrifice. Those are things that I had to kind of condition myself to understand. Like, being kind, being nice doesn't mean that you have to, like, lose who you are or yourself for people to feel that way about you.
Right.
But what, Dustin, what about you, Dustin, though? Do you ever audit yourself on how the people around you are experiencing who Dustin Ross is?
Consistently.
Yeah.
It's like a general practice for me.
Okay, tell us more.
It's important to me that there is a very clear and very tangible level of authenticity in my friendships.
Right.
And so, because I'm not friends with, I have a lot of people that I'm friendly with and that I know and have genuine, you know, good connections with. But my friends is really like a group of my best friends. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's important to me to be 100% present. And so I think about Like I always say, intention. I think about the remnants and the residual effects of the things that I say and do.
Right.
I've learned to do that more. Sometimes it can be easy for me to be misunderstood because I joke a lot or because I'm super straightforward sometimes. And so I've been working hard at being clear and fair. And I don't want to hurt my friends' feelings. And I don't want to be a bad person. And I don't want to be neglectful in my friendships. So I constantly, you know, measure myself.
I love that.
Over and over and over again.
I love that. I mean, you guys know me. I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm learning, though, because there's two sides to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, I think, to be aware of how people are perceiving you and experiencing you. But it's also not an obligation of yours to have people understand you.
Right.
Mm. You know, so it's an interesting dance.
Right.
Because it's like, yes, I want you to feel safe and comfortable and know that you can rely on me and have that ecosystem, not the one Dustin's talking about.
That was Nico Brando talking that shit.
I want us... No,
he had his
I can't
hair
talk.
Like Hillary Clinton.
Well, you FYI, brought it back. You
why
brought
we,
it back
why we got a break? Let me get this one in. He had his hair like Hillary Clinton in the pictures on TMZ. Look at the pictures on TMZ. He got a brunette Hillary cut. Well, I'm telling you, man. I'm like, who is this asshole? Well, I couldn't believe. Right. Knowing your daddy dropped down and got his eagle on him. Here you come. No, he didn't. Who doing it in front of their kids anyway? How you know? You don't know what your daddy was doing.
Ooh.
Sorry. Let's go ahead.
Where was I? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ecosystem.
No, we're
going like
move
the...
past
oh, okay.
the ecosystem.
Sorry.
So, you know, you want to create an environment with your friends where you being in it is contributing in ways, helping each other thrive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What a good friendship feels like. But you also don't want to... overextend beyond what you need to be understood. And what that's where the thing about alignment comes in, where I'm okay with my relationships changing how they need to. You know, remember, I think someone else the other day was saying that they felt like anytime they shared, was it their work or something with their friend, that their friend always had some something negative. And then the friend wrote in like, do I stop sharing my work? Like, what, you know, how do I navigate this friendship? And we were sharing advice that your friendships are going to change. You're going to have different interests, and it's okay to have that friend that you go party with on the weekends, but then have that friend that when you need to buckle down and do work, you know, that's whose house you go to. You know what I mean? Like, everyone kind of gets filed away. And I think it's a beautiful thing. It's nice to just let things kind of evolve into what they need to be, even if that means evolving out of it. But as far as auditing, my biggest thing also is not pointing fingers. I haven't fallen out with like a close friend in a long time. Mm-hmm. I think ever in life has been maybe, I think, two fallouts. And honestly, the crazy part is the fallouts had nothing to do with me. It was like a loyalty thing.
Mm, damn.
You know, it wasn't even like directly me. It was like they fell out with someone I was close to. And I didn't feel comfortable with them making me choose, because I don't really do the high school like it. Well,
Lachey
if you
Johnson.
Her friend, then I can't fuck with you. My thing is, if you put me in that position where you, quote unquote, can't fuck with me, then you answered your own question.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Like, I don't choose. If it had nothing to do with me, I don't choose. I've unfortunately been put in that position two times. And that's really it. Those are the only times I've had any, like, serious fallouts with friends. So... I'm very cautious with who... I wouldn't say cautious because that sounds like paranoid, but I guess I just... I'm very
mindful,
aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very mindful and intentional of who I get close to because I base it on how I feel as opposed to, like, what I might need from them or who they are. You know, like, I'm sure you guys have been around the most awesome people and you felt nothing. You didn't feel like even calling them back. You know, like, awesome in as far as status, I should say, just to...
I feel the exact same way that you do about falling out with friends, mm-hmm. Fran, Falling Out with Friends, Fran. On the Friend Zone. Frank Kelly, Franklin. Just everything is F-I-R coming out of my mouth. But anyway, I'm the same way about falling out with friends. Like, it's just not a part of my program. And I feel like it's just as unnatural as, like, a breakup or a death. Mm-hmm. It feels like that because you grieve what you knew the relationship to be. And so I've never been interested in that. And then there's so many pangs of guilt that come along with that, even when it's not your fault. Because it ain't never been my fault. But, like, you know, and I, too, have only had that happen to me twice.
Yeah.
And it was like a
Dustin's like, and it was their fault.
Now that I think about it, it's been three times. But, yeah, like, but all that shit. And then, further to my point, it was later in life. When it happened with these situations, mm-hmm. they all happened way later in life. So, like, when you think that people will fall out and shit, being young and immature or whatever,
it's not
that. We were good. It was when we got older and things changed and, you know, people just did things that were completely out of character for what I knew them to be.
Right.
And you're faced with a situation where you have to be accountable for that to yourself, and you have to force them to be accountable for that too. And you have to decide to do what makes sense.
Right.
Does it even make sense to continue? Can you? Are you even capable of being genuinely, legitimately close and sincerely close or engaging with somebody on that level after you feel like they've wronged you? You know what I mean?
Of course. Like, and you have the right. That's where the boundaries conversation
so
comes
for
in.
Me, I approach a friendship. If we're friends, then we're going to be exposed to a lot of personal things about each other. And I can't really be careless with that at this point in my life because the fallout is too much for me to handle. So I because of that, I'd rather just police myself as much as I can.
Right.
Learn to understand people, learn to understand each other, and just always make sure that I'm being genuine.
Yeah.
And that's it. Other than that, it's time to whoop some ass. Okay? That's just the way I'm rolling. You know what I'm saying? That's it. So.
And I try to save my friendships all the time. Yep. Like, when I say save, not like we're always at war, but, you know, friends clash. We're all growing. We see the world differently. I'm always, and you guys see how I am, I'm very attuned to people's feelings. I can mm-hmm. always feel when there's a shift. But with me, what I'm learning, and I'm doing it faster and faster, is that I'll ask you immediately so that I don't have any assumptions. Because mm-hmm. assumptions always kill everything. You start building all kinds of stories, shit that didn't even happen, instead of just being like, hey, I feel this, you know, something's up. What is it? Hopefully they'll be willing to speak on it on the spot. And honestly, because I do it so fast, my friends now like know that they have gotten more comfortable with just saying it on the spot. And I love that. Like, me and Maya are really good with that. Yeah. Because Maya will say it. Like, I'll be like, what's the problem? Before, she'd kind of dance around it, but now she'd be like, this annoyed me. And I'd be like, well, let's fix it. Boom.
See, and I'm going to tell you something else about that. You're so wise. So wise. That's a really good way to tell a goddamn liar, too, because everybody ain't quick on their feet. And so when you call somebody out to the carpet like that, you know what I'm saying? When you call them to the carpet like that and they are standing there, what are they supposed to do? I did do jazz hands.
You call them out to the floor.
I did
like
them
that.
Drake performance hands. Remember when Drake used to perform and
I thought
act
he was doing
like,
the Michael Jackson hands.
Drake used to perform and act like he was telling somebody to come here with his middle fingers. Y'all remember he used to always do that. But, yeah, like, if you call them to the carpet, it's hard for people to respond with truth. Well, you know, with whatever. It's easy to tell when somebody's lying. So I think, again, that's a great way to cut the grass to see the snakes on a petty note.
Not cut the grass. Wow. Okay, so here's my next question. When you are talking to your friends, right,
mm-hmm.
what percentage of your convo is about other people? What percentage of your convo is about people that don't even know you? And what percentage of your convo is about ideas and you pouring into each other creatively? Like, what are you up to? You know, what is it that you need? How can I contribute? Can you guys kind of think of how you're contributing to your friends' lives with your conversation and your words?
Oh, yeah. Well, I, you know.
And this is coming from you, not your friend. Last week we touched a little bit more on how our friends contribute to our lives. But this week, I want to really audit how you are treating the people in your life. So are you a friend that contributes creatively, or is it just a lot of talking about other people?
Well, I'm so glad that we can answer this question in truth, because clearly if I'm lying, y'all don't know. So I definitely do not occupy my friends' conversational space with talk about other people unless we laughing at something or somebody.
Right.
Right. And if we are, that was justified anyway. So we don't even have, we don't even roll. Friend, when would we ever sit up?
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Right? Just talk about, like, that don't even make sense. And so we definitely.
I would actually say 75 to 80% of our convos are about business.
Thank you, friend.
Which is so crazy.
And getting better at things. Yeah. And just fucking, like, I don't know. So I don't know what everybody else is talking to their friends about. But, like, the way me and my best friend Gary, prime example, we share a lot of personal stuff with each other. But it's never anything, like, gossipy or salacious. Like, I just don't sit up and do that.
Right.
You know, I don't. Like, no. That's never been my stilo. I have a very
low threshold.
I hate that. Like,
I'm
that's
trying to
not
imagine
even,
it.
It makes me sick. And I think it's a huge part of the problem, like today, with people not trusting each other and not even being able to trust each other. It's all because people sit up and have those conversations. I talk to y'all all the time about how I hate the people that say, "You wasn't even no niggas at the club tonight," when really, you just were scared to talk to anybody in the room and you stood on the side of the wall all night. That demographic, that demo.
Not that demo.
I cannot get with. So those conversations, like, it's just not a part of my reality.
What about you?
Those convos are a part of my reality.
This is the audit. This is why we have in
but
this convo.
The great audit, because everything that you said is completely true, mm-hmm. which is why a lot of those convos are less. Like, a lot of my friendships, I feel, well, every friendship I look at is like 50-50. I should be able to talk to you about friend stuff, and I should be able to talk to you about everything else. Like, mm-hmm. like, it's literally just friendship shit and everything else, whether everything else is business shit, relationship shit, whatever. Like, the things that fall into friend stuff is, like, things that make us laugh or things that, like, help each other with us. So if that falls under your business part of the umbrella, then we flipping back to that. But I think that's why I have a hard time sometimes with discerning between, like, drawing a straight line and setting a boundary versus being, like, amicable and being able to stretch and change my opinions on certain things, or being able to file things away differently. So instead of being half and half, because when I was having conversations about other people and other things, it wasn't always bad conversations, but it was still about other people and other things.
Right.
So sometimes those conversations can be creative and constructive and cool, but then other times those conversations are just boring and they don't add to your energy. Like, if we sat on this show and we talked about the Kardashians for any part of it, for any period, I would be like, this is so fucking stupid. This sucks. But all the other stuff that we talk about, I feel like somebody might think that as well. Like, they might be like, they're talking about music and, you know, music is cool, but it's not feeding my spirit or whatever.
Right.
And but for me, that feeds my spirit. So it's, like, hard for me to figure out sometimes with friends, like, what is good to
mutually
pour into them.
Mutually beneficial.
Right. Like, what's good for us to pour into each other.
Right.
And that goes back into, like, the friendship pile. But sometimes going into that other pile where we talk about other people, that will benefit us as friends. Not necessarily in a good way and not necessarily in a bad way, because a lot of it is processing information and then sharing information and figuring out whether you're doing it right or wrong, or even helping somebody else figure out if they need to do something right or wrong. And I think that's why you have to be really, really careful about what information you are sharing, whether it's about other friends or whether it's about shit on the internet. Because even on the podcast, when people are like, hey, you share, you know, X, Y, and Z, but you only share, like, a small part of it. Like, you only shared, like, one study, and it's a whole-ass organization on the shit. And it's like, well, yeah, that's the part we're focusing on. If you need more information, go do it. Like,
yeah,
and if you know that, what you telling me for? Bitch, you already know. I didn't need to tell you. So,
right.
What are we doing?
And the show was booked so long.
Right. It's like, at that point, you should be like, cool. Like, I know what they're talking about, and it's cool that they're talking about that.
Right.
But then it's just like, oh, that's not enough, or it's not right. And that's why, like, with friends, it's easier to have those types of conversations, because your friend can tell you, like, oh, well, y'all didn't talk about this enough on the podcast, X, Y, and Z. And then you can tell them, like, well, girl, that shit was 3 days long and we only have an hour. And they're like, oh, you're right. Like in that setting, like, it's okay and it's cool and you get it. But then at that point, that's information for you to work well with, and that's information for them that really ain't their business, so they don't actually need the information.
Right.
But it's still information for them to have to say, you don't need this information. But that's how I worked with it. What about you, friend?
And I love what you were saying about the mutually beneficial, because I think that gravitates towards that alignment conversation once again. It becomes like, you know, Jara and Haas, who've been my friends for a while, but we've gotten tighter, obviously, because of the tour. We've gotten so much tighter than we were before because the tour really showed us how much we have in common, like more than ever. And so I love that they're the friends that I can talk to about, like, the spiritual stuff that maybe if I were to bring it up to one of you guys or, like, Maya, you guys would be like, oh,
which
no,
housewife
friend.
Is that?
Right? Like, y'all would be like, okay, you know, that's a lot.
I would follow along and just support you however.
I appreciate that.
I know,
that's
friend.
Love.
You know you'd be having the gems, friend.
I don't have to know. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, friend, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Some of the stuff we'd be listening to and reading, we'd be cracking up amongst ourselves. Like, if someone knew what we were listening to right now, they would think we are batch, you're crazy. But with them, they get me and I get them. So right. They're that little corner of my world. You know, and that's why I think alignment, I think the more you develop interests and cultivate them and evolve, you'll start gravitating towards different people that will kind of fit different parts of your personality.
Yes.
And I think you have to respect the role that everyone plays and be okay with that instead of trying to like force people into other roles. So I think as far as conversations, I think mine are, I can honestly say, are more so heavily based on self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just what I like to talk about. And if you're my friend, which you guys are, and anyone listening who is in my life personally, that's just what you're going to get when you're talking to Fran. It's just who I am. I've accepted it. I'm glad that that's just who I am. My friends know that that's who I am. Take it or leave it. That's the alignment that you can choose to be a part of or not. A lot of times, if you talk to me about a problem, I'm not really someone that, you know how people are like, oh, just be a listening ear and don't give advice. I'm not that friend.
Okay.
If you come to me with a problem, A, we're either going to solve it. B, we're going to figure out how to make you feel better. But I'm not a trash box where you can just sit and vent and I'm going
to
sit quietly.
That brings us both down. I don't want
to
hear that.
Yeah, I'm not that friend. I'm sorry. If you want someone to be quiet or coddle you or be like, oh, girl, it's going to be okay, you have to call someone else.
Okay.
Because I'm the one that's going to be like, here's this book, or what can I do to help? Boom, 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 let's fix it, because we're not going to keep talking about this. Like, you know, my tolerance for problems is moving faster these days, but that's because I'm moving through my own problems faster, and I can't take on anyone else's.
Ooh.
And people know that. People know that. So when people come to me, they know we're fixing it or don't ask me.
You're pouring right on into my
Because you know how they're
right
friends
now.
That just, we've talked about this before about bonding and misery. They'll call you with the same problem. You're like, oh my God, dude.
It's like, I know that this
either
is your
leave
problem.
Leave him or don't. Right?
And you know that this is your problem.
Now you don't even want to pick up the phone when they call. Don't be that friend.
And what is your problem? Okay.
Okay, shit.
So as far as the percentage, I would say a big chunk is self-improvement. A bigger chunk is business, just because I'm always interested in what my friends are doing creatively, how I can contribute. Do we sit and gossip? There's no way in hell I'm going to say that I never gossip. But when I do gossip, it's always about me somehow. You know what I mean? Like an interaction I have with someone that I got to be like, let me tell you what this motherfucker said. Something funny, you know, or my friend sharing whatever, you know, happened to them. It's
our
always that. Yeah, because honestly, I'm not even kidding. I know you guys are going to roll your eyes, and please do so in the comfort of your homes and offices. I always feel sick to my stomach when I have to, when like talking about someone, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate it. That's why even
you
that.
You was getting nervous
that Tony.
I was about to say, you were physically uncomfortable
you saw
at that time.
Me, I was sweating.
You was like, I was like, oh, I need to ask another question.
Yo, Asante, for those who missed that episode, asked about an artist, and I said something not so friendly about
And it
Tony
was your
Braxton.
Friend that told me to ask that question. I just need
he
you to know.
Me up.
He set you
I need
up.
A new best friend. But that you saw how uncomfortable I was. Like, I was like trying to be a good sport and play, but I was also sweaty.
You couldn't even sit in Queen's Court.
That shit, I don't know, on a cellular level, I'd just be like, oh God, this doesn't feel good. But you know where that comes from? Because I've read and heard awful things about myself, and I didn't like how it felt.
Yes.
And I always vowed mentally that, and I always imagine someone coming into my tweet or coming into my words and hearing it about them and how it would affect them. and I can't do it. Because I know how terrible I felt, especially if things were like really mean or just completely out of pocket. I can't do that.
I'm the same way. You know the only difference. Dustin, I promise to God in heaven.
He was so quick.
The ever-living life.
Notwithstanding, I would like to say that I am only... It's only.
He told some lady the other day that her hair was... What'd he say? A wig with a zipper? I was, like, yeah. I was like, somebody take Dustin's phone.
But what has she said to me? See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. A double zipper. The one that go up and down with the two pieces at the first piece at the bottom and the second one that go up for extra security and attachment, stability. Wig had tree roots. But you know what? I only do that, right?
Tree roots?
I would never just willfully say something harmful to a person with no reason or
merit.
They have
to provoke you.
You have got, not just provoke, you have to, because like that, the wig with the zipper, like, see, Asante can't stop that. That's jokes. You know, that's jokes. That's what we do. And like, y'all know my policy. No arguments online, only jokes, right?
Right,
so I never go back, no, bitch, my point is this. I just say, yo, you got a wig with a zipper. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you about being provoked, though, because I'll get... petty, playful petty. It's always, I always like shade, whether I'm throwing it or you're throwing it at me, if it's funny. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be funny. If it's just mean, then that's just like childish.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think humor just gives it a twist that it's like, okay, I can handle this.
Or humor is good.
Because if it's a bad joke, then it's like, why did I read this? This ain't even funny. Like when someone's trying to get cute with you,
right.
Like an e-friend, it's like, this is not, why did you do this to yourself? You wasted both of our time.
Some shit is just unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like you just literally did not need to share that with me.
Okay, here's my last question for you guys.
Okay.
I wish we had more time because these are really good questions to ask yourself. And obviously, when we end the hot button, I'll have the questions for you guys so that you can audit yourself and those around you. So my last question is, do you feel that your friends have grown or are learning from you by you being in their life? Like, when you think of your closest friends, what's the last thing that they learned from you specifically? Like, that you put them up on game? Maybe there's something in their lifestyle that they kind of tweaked or shifted because of you, or maybe even creatively somehow something you have to offer, whether it's some kind of skill set, craft, a connect, a dot, whatever, that helped them grow because you exist. Can you picture that in your friendships and know how you have been a positive contribution to your friends' lives in like tangible specifics that can be like measured?
Yes.
I love that. You're like, yes.
I can. And the one situation I'm thinking of is I have a friend who I'm very, very close to who is just simply not, well, was not, is not a social person, a very social person.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of our friendship, they have completely, I don't want to say bloomed, but they've completely like become far more social and far more comfortable in social settings. And developed like a huge network of like friends that they have now, like extended. And that makes me, I know that in order for my friend to do that, they have to feel completely comfortable and safe. And so seeing them feel like that and develop these friendships and stuff, it makes me happy because I like for my friends to feel good about themselves.
Right.
And so that is one thing that I can literally see because I've literally been like, hey, this is such and such. You know what I'm saying? Y'all introduced, and then like, you know, seeing those connections happen over and over again, and I know that there was a time when they would not, simply just were not open to that, and so seeing that progression is great because they, I see them enjoying themselves,
right, and opening up,
good.
Mm-hmm. Asante's been laughing this whole time
because to answer your question, yes. And on the not so serious note, when you first started asking this question, I thought about how many people I've taught how to roll.
Oh.
So I was like, I mean, because honestly, this is going to sound so random.
I mean, that's helpful. It is. When I smoked, I would have loved to have been taught.
This is what I'm saying to you. Like, you know, I haven't smoked my entire life. It's only been, actually, I think this is like my fifth year, like really being a full-time smoker. For real.
Oh,
I can pinpoint because
Cinco de Frio.
You're
Cinco de Hayo.
Hello.
Y'all are terrible.
I only remember because the party that I went to and, you know, a guest of honor had smoked me up. And I was like, I'm going to just start smoking full time. It happened 5 years ago. Anyway, teaching someone how to roll is very, very helpful.
Was it a rapper?
Yes.
Yes, I know what party you're talking about.
So, that was the inspiration. Yep. We had like a cool ass conversation. They was high as fuck and I was getting high and I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, maybe Sandra's I should smoke
this
weed.
This is amazing.
But I'm... Never mind, that's terrible. I shouldn't say that part. But I will say weed unlocked something in me, and it gave me the courage to quit my job, and I've been doing this full time. And I'm not saying pot is the answer.
Please
because
don't.
Everybody has different things that they have done or haven't done. Because people smoked in school and didn't make it out. But then there were people that smoked in school and have, like, masters. And
yeah, I'm not one of those.
But I kid you not.
It affects people differently.
It affects people differently. Yes. That's why I'm not endorsing it full time. But I'm one of those people, I promise you, had I smoked in college, I probably would have stayed.
Oh, shit.
Because
everything would have been all right.
Everything would have been all right. And you know what? I don't know if I have like a mild or low form of ADD, but sometimes I smoke and I come.
You can see clearer now.
That's it. Okay. It ain't no haze. But outside of that, on a serious note, mm-hmm. I think about being a connector for my friends. Mm-hmm. And I think just not connecting ecosystems, Dustin.
OMG.
AJ, she doing both.
Like, I've always been the type of friend to sit and listen and then be like, okay, well, you know, if I, like, not consciously, but like, you know, my friend is looking for this or they need this. And it's not like something I actively think about, but like when people come my way and I'm like, oh my God, you would be dope for this, for something. And I would like try to link people up, and I've done that for years. But outside of doing that, I've always tried to be really, really good about just being myself, like not trying to change myself in whatever situation I'm in. And I think my friends, they've gotten used to some of that. Like, I think about Crystal. The first time I met Crystal, she rolled her eyes at me. And like today, like to this day, she still rolls her eyes at me. But like, it's from a place of love because she understands who I am now. Like initially, it was just like I was another one of whatever it was to her. But now I'm special.
Oh.
So, like, her rolling her eyes isn't, like, you know, her just blowing me off as, like, a stranger or a weirdo. And I feel like there are people that I've, like, really, like, gotten into their hearts. Like, people who wouldn't let people in easily.
Right,
like,
yes.
I'm one of those friends, like, I don't mind working to get to your heart as a friend. Because I feel like if you deserve that, like, that's what I want to give to you.
Aww.
Because you're my friend.
Like, right.
That's why I can't hold grudges. Like, it's hard for me when I've, like, cut someone off or whatever. If it's been, like, a year or two down the road and I see you somewhere, I got a smile and a hug for you. Maybe.
I'm from the school of candy birds when it comes to, you know, that falling out and getting back cool shit. It don't take many, many years.
Well, that's why I said if I see you out.
Ooh, 40 years type shit fucking with me. We're going to be old. It's going to be old time at the Apollo by the time we make it right.
Now, I'm not going to be fake. There are some people I see and then I don't see them.
Ooh.
It's like they disappear right before my very eyes.
Oh, and no, you one like, of those?
Not all the time.
You walk in the room like, what's the Mariah meme? She's like, I can't. She putting on her shade.
Uh-huh. I don't know her.
But friend, and you know, maybe this is something you'll help me with in my friendship. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people, you like, you know, you can feel that coming off your friend. Like, oh, they are seething. And they trying to be like, there ain't nothing wrong. I'm one of those people, I'm I don't know if it's sociopathic or what, but if I say I don't see him, I just don't. It's not a second thought. It's not a petty like, like I'm not trying to look.
Like
I don't
you have
care.
A literal switch.
I don't give a fuck. Like it be like that. So that's why I try not to hold grudges because I know if I get bad like that.
You don't want to go that far.
So I'd rather just not because I don't want to be that person. I like when everybody's having a good time.
Yeah. Whew. Well, I mean, I think I'm really nurturing. I think my friends feel safe. Like, they all, every friend of mine knows whatever the issue is, we're going to fix it. Mm. Like, it never fails. Obviously, I'm not God, and I'm not this superhuman person, but I do think one thing I have a gift of as a friend is that I can help you figure it out. And whether that's business, whether it's a breakup and you were trying to sort out your feelings, whether it's you're stuck financially, like we'll always figure it out. So I think it's not like a motherly thing either because I don't think I have that kind of energy. It's not motherly. It's just more so I just provide a container of safety for everyone around me.
I feel like a lot of that is missing, friend. I feel like,
yeah.
I feel like you are very rare in the society now where there's like so much digital or even self, like you're about self-improvement, yeah. but then people take that and they run with it and it becomes selfish. And it's like
right.
too much. Like now you've alienated people around you, but you're great about, like, I feel like if I robbed a bank and killed somebody, I could confess that to you, friend.
Right, and I'd be like, okay, let's sort through this.
Now, as your friend, I wouldn't want to ever put you in a situation like
right,
that.
Right,
But
you know that I'm the one that you could say that just to get it out, and then we'll sit there and I'll be like, okay, let's work through this.
A lot, but let's take it down.
And I think that's what I have mastered, because it's been a long time coming, is not being selfish in my nurturing either. Like, this isn't about me fixing you. This isn't about me at all. It's actually just like, I think because I know with my own feelings, if you let your stress levels or your mind run, or you know, you get from one problem to the next, you just go deeper. I know how hard it is to feel completely lost and like you don't have anyone. And so those feelings of like, well, how can I fix this, and kind of self-soothing, I've kind of mastered the art of nurturing through nurturing myself. And so what I provide, and I've mentioned this before, there's actually a quote that has said, a healer doesn't heal you. They don't heal anybody. No one can heal anybody. We just hold space for you to finally have space to breathe, for you to have space to figure it out, and for you to heal yourself. And that's why I always use the word container, because I think I literally view myself as a container where my friends kind of step into Fran and shut the door, and they can kind of like take everything off for a second and be like, whew, girl, okay, like this is what the deal is, and we figure it out. And so I think that is my contribution as a friend, and I'm proud of that, because I think it's awesome that people feel safe around you. So that's something to consider. Do your friends feel safe around you? Are you the friend they can talk to when you talking to your friends? Actually, here are the questions that I want those of you listening especially. The first one is, when talking to your friends, what percentage of the phone call is about you and your life before you even ask them how they're doing? That's something to be super mindful of. I've had a lot of people, I've mentioned it before, I remember where I said it was my birthday.
Right,
and
yeah.
My friend was talking to me about something she was going through, and I think it was about 25, 30, maybe 40 minutes in. She was like, what you doing today, girl? I done took, she was kind of like, I done talked your head off. I was like, oh, nothing, it's just my birthday.
I know she was,
you
like,
know, I'm calling
damn,
you your birthday, like, fucked up. I'm doing that to you this year.
Right. You know, Maya was like, was that me? I was like, no. Like, it was not you, Maya.
See, she asked.
She was auditing
See?
Herself. She's
there
like,
you
are. She's like, because it would be me, so let me ask. Are you aware of your friends' current challenges and concerns, or are they only aware of yours? A lot of friends are so used to calling their friends to vent and to tell them what their problems are, and to be like, you know, he did this to me and that, and they're not even aware of what's going on with their friends. And that ties into the first one of the percentage of your phone calls. How much of your friendship is one-sided, where you literally only call them when you need something or when you're venting? Is there an ecosystem of help within your friendships, or is it usually you needing something? So when was the last time you hit your friends up making sure that they were okay, that they were good? You know, was there anything? Do you even ask your friends things like that? Yo, the projects you're working on, is there any way I can help? Or what's up, you know, what's going on with your day, your life? Like, talk to me. Like, make sure that the ecosystem is flowing both yes. ways. You know, where it's not just this one-sided phone call. Think of the last friend who helped you. Are they aware that of how grateful you are? Like, have you made them know? Have you let them know how grateful you are of their assistance and facilitation? Are you aware of the ways that they may need your help if they haven't vocalized it? That's part of the ecosystem again. And then the last thing was, what was the last thing a friend of yours learned from you, and or something you put them up on? Just like I was asking you guys, just making sure that you are a thriving contribution to your friendships. We're not misery. What is it? We're not bonding in misery anymore. That's old school. Those are the old days. Now we're thriving. We're evolving, stepping into creative jobs, into our dream lives, into lives that we've been constructing and cultivating and really hoping for. It's time to step into that. But you have to make sure that all of you are contributing to that. Because if y'all are still on the phone just talking about people who don't even know you,
don't give a damn about you.
Who aren't thinking about you, but you're thinking about them. What is your day about? We're off
Instagram.
That.
Can I add a question to the
list?
Yeah,
of course. And this is something that you know. I shouldn't have said that so fast.
This is something I think is a great meter for your friendships, right? And this is, again, from the perspective of your friends and how they, you know, feel about you as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Do your friends feel comfortable doing the number two at your house?
Oh, my God.
Damn.
That's a great meter. Be the friend that your friends feel comfortable in theory now. We ain't saying going to blow up their bathroom.
That's why I'm like,
in my mind, I'm thinking
theory.
About, well, what you
but do I want you to do number two at my house?
Look, and that is the key. I think that's the major key. That's the one's going to get to. Because in my mind, I feel comfortable enough, but I wouldn't want to do that. Like, I'm thinking about my friends. Like, I have never done that
to
them.
See how I'm thinking? That's why I need to be on the list. That's what I'm saying. This is a good question.
Because it is. Because I'm thinking about all the times I've been to my friend's houses. And I'd be like, wow, that was really good. Because I think they all are clean, but I have never sat on any of y'all's commodes. I'm thinking about how...
Not commode.
Yeah, because you don't... Like, look, that's their living space. That's their commode. And so now you sitting on that commode. Look, that's what I'd be thinking about. Like, oh, they put their butt there. I'm not putting my butt there. Like I feel bad if I go to a woman's house and I leave the seat up. So I'm definitely not, like, putting my butt on your butt. Like, just because booty bumping, you might not even want that. Let alone me just...
Listen, this is just something to think about.
So, okay, fine. We'll add it to the list.
No, that was a good one. That turned some more wheels in my head, you know.
And then the last one is the same question I asked you guys. I want you guys to audit the quality of conversation you are offering the people in your life. Like we said, a lot of people say, God remove the things that are no longer serving me. But how do you know they weren't removed because you were no longer serving them?
How you know you didn't get removed? You might be once removed your damn self. Right.
That's something people don't audit. They're very quick to be like, it just got out my way because you weren't for me. Okay, but maybe you weren't for them.
Right.
And it's time for you to look inward to make sure that you're being as accountable as the other friend for whatever it is that tarnished the relationship. So look into the percentage of your convo that y'all are talking about people you who don't even know you, people who know you, or talking about growth, ideas, the ecosystem. Once again, how can I contribute it to you? You know, what are you doing, girl? What are you doing, dude? Da da da. Like, let's figure it out. Oh, you need pictures? I know this dude that takes pictures. Let's go shoot. No. Let's really go shoot. No, for real. Let's do it this Saturday at 2:00. You know what I mean?
You like, late, bitch. I'm cutting.
Right. Like, be that friend that schedules shit and puts goals onto your friends' calendars. And the whole point of this audit is to stop pointing fingers and be more accountable for how people are receiving your energy in the world and making sure that it's helpful.
Amen.
Friend audits, and as you being the friend and you being audited, just something to look into, because this, honestly, it's going to transcend so many things. It'll transcend your work relationships. It's going to transcend how you relate to anybody you have to work with in any extent, which means financially, business-wise, home, family, friends. You're going to be so much more aware and healthier and willing to communicate and willing to salvage and fix and realign. And, you know, that's what life's all about.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's it for this week's Hot Button Issue.
Right. Hear ye, hear ye. The two dopest queens to ever queen are coming to HBO. So gather around the TV and prepare yourself for the comedy coronation of a lifetime. Watch as Jessica Williams and Phoebe Robinson, aka Two Dope Queens, bring their comedy podcast to HBO in a series of 4 comedy specials. Directed by Tig Notaro, each special features your fearless queens dishing on topics like Coco Khaleesi's, dating white bass, sex, New York living, which borough has the best pizza, and so much more. They'll also be showcasing some of their favorite stand-up comedians and chatting with their favorite peeps like Jon Stewart, Sarah Jessica Parker, Titus Burgess, and Uzo Aduba. Two Dope Queens, weekly on HBO.
Support for today's episode also comes from HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. No more time-consuming meal planning or even grocery shopping. HelloFresh makes it so easy to cook delicious, balanced dinners for less than $10 a meal. Just choose your delivery day and everything gets sent right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging. With three plans to choose from, including classic, veggie, and family, there's something for everyone. Plus, there are lots of one-pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking and minimal cleanup, which is my favorite. A lot of us don't have time. Look forward to your HelloFresh box delivery as the highlight of your week, knowing dinner just got that much easier. Let me just say, you guys, so I find you guys know that this month is my month of eating and cooking and mm-hmm. just kind of reconnecting with my body, right? Mm-hmm. So
yes.
There was a day where I had time to cook, but I hadn't gone to the grocery store. Would you know, I kid you not, I'm not saying this just because of the ad. There was a knock at the door. I did not know we were getting HelloFresh yes. boxes.
An on-time guy.
The guy, it was like Jesus. I was okay. like, what? He's like, here's your HelloFresh package.
In a white lit up robe.
Yo. I was messed. That just blew my mind. So amazing timing, first of all. And then when I opened it, it was a tortellini with asparagus and panko crumbs. Oh, my God. Ooh. It was so good, you guys. And it took like 20, maybe 30 minutes tops.
Man.
Oh, wow. That's
very
quick.
Minimal ingredients. I think it had like maybe 5-6 ingredients total. Everything was there. Cooked it up. Ate it. Amazing. And I'm not someone, I'm not someone that really eats like a lot of pasta just because I don't really know how to make like, you know, people make like lasagnas and all these like really hearty. It's just never really been my thing. So to whip it up and saw how easy it was, I was like, this is really good. And it had asparagus and all the veggies.
Come
so
now you got tortellini.
It literally
in your
was HelloFresh.
Yo, I've never made tortellini in my life.
HelloFresh? Hello.
But that was just bomb. So I had to share that experience. I even sent a picture to my mom, like, look what I made. She was like, what is that?
Yes.
She knows I never make pasta. But anyways, just had to throw that in there. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code FRIENDZONE30. That's HelloFresh.com, offer code FRIENDZONE30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Do you guys, are you guys ready to jump to this week's wellness segment?
Yes, I am. Oh, well.
So this one's going to be super short because this is a quick tip. So, you know, I was telling you guys, like I said earlier in the ad, that I have, my project for February has been working and reconnecting with my body, right? So that's why I've been going to the chiro and the physical therapist for my knee problems. Slowly rebuilding my ability to go to the gym with this neck spine and freaking knee injury. So it's not easy. And you know, my ego is a little bruised because I'm comparing myself. I'm kind of like fighting my old body and comparing what I used to be able to do. And so my head kind of starts fucking with me when I'm in the gym because now I'm like, damn girl, you can barely get through such and such miles now, you know, like, but you have to fight that little voice. Mm-hmm. So a trick that has been helping me. Do you guys run on the treadmill or use any machines that have numbers or time that kind of fuck with your head and you just
put
keep staring at it?
Yeah. Yes. I don't look at them numbers. Sorry. Yes, friend.
No, that's what I'm asking. Yes, it's good.
I don't. I put the towel. I get the program started. I put the towel right over that because as long as I know what time it is, I'm not finishing.
Right. And that's a mental thing. Do you hear me, trips? Two tips, I can't even speak, that have helped me with my battle with the treadmill and my freaking mind chatter, which will get you every time because your mind will tell you to stop before your body does. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating. So I'm slowly building. Actually, I'll tell you guys what my treadmill workout has been. So this is the fourth week that I've been at the gym in a row since my chiro gave me the green light and the physical therapist. So the first week I started on the treadmill just running 0.5, so just half a mile. I did that. I'm going to the gym now from Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. So for the first week, Monday through Friday, I literally ran half a mile every day. Every morning, 9 a.m., I'm on the treadmill running half a mile. The first day was lethal. Like, everything hurt. I was like, this is embarrassing. My head was fucking with me. Like, girl, you used to run 6 miles and 10 miles. Half a mile, you should be embarrassed. Looking at the time, how long it was taking me. Terrible. By the Friday, I was running the half mile, boop, like nothing. So it just showed me the power of pushing your body, pushing your mind, and being consistent. Week two, bumped it up to 1 mile. Started, you know, obviously that Monday, I was like huffing and puffing and dripping. By Friday, fine. Ran the mile like nothing. Week three, bumped it up to 1.5 miles.
Boop, boop.
Right. So that's the pattern. And now this week, which is week four, I'm running 2 miles.
Go on, friend. Go ahead, friend.
But that's a testament, even with injuries, like just being consistent and thinking of ways to just like go against that mind chatter. You know what I mean? And also being easy with yourself. I started super slow instead of trying to run 6 miles off jump. Like, I'm fighting my ego and starting. I started from 0.5. Mm-hmm. Like, how much smaller can you go in trying to run? So so that's the first tip. Start really slow and be consistent, because that's the only way that your body will have the muscle memory and build the endurance, you know, and resilience to get through each day. The second tip was Asante's tip. Put a towel on the screen.
Every time, instantly.
Do not stare at those numbers. They will fuck with your head. I actually put a towel this week because they started fucking with my head. And it was crazy to me how much more easeful it was. Like, I swear it was, I was like, yo, the mind is something else, because the fact that me not seeing the numbers made this much of an impact. Like, I even swear, unless I'm tripping, but I swear I even was sweating less.
Wow.
It's almost like your mind overworks your body to start thinking like, I'm so tired, and you start dripping and your body almost starts reacting to make you think you need to stop. I didn't even sweat as much. It was crazy. Crazy.
You know, one machine that trick don't work for me on, and I've only tried
it. Elliptical? Oh.
It works for me on the elliptical, but I just don't like doing that one. The stair one.
Ooh, the stair
I can't do the
master.
Stair one at all. I've tried that towel trick on there two different
That's
times.
That's my next project.
And I said, you know what? Fuck these stairs.
I am trying to build up to being 2K. Able to go on the Stairmaster for 45 minutes. That's my goal.
Psh, whoa.
I don't know when I'm going to start, but that's my goal.
I started and I did like a smooth 3-4 minutes the first
Ain't
time.
Ain't that hard?
The second time I made it to 9
People
minutes.
Yo, 9 minutes is good.
9 minutes was great.
That's a long
I was like,
time.
I ain't doing this shit no more. Fuck that. And then the gym that I went to, their elevator was broke and all the shit was on the top, the fourth floor. But
oh,
they had like
no.
an extra fake, extra floor that they don't
so
mark.
So extra stairs.
After the stair machine.
Yo, the Stairmaster is a beast. I'm actually making like a mental project to like focus on it and really attack it.
I want
to
dominate it.
But I have
day.
To see if I can get the green light, because I don't even know if I could do the Stairmaster. So, and all, by the way, I'm only trying to build up to 4 miles. Mm-hmm. I won't let my body, I'm not going to take my body where I did before. I'm just going to build up to 4. And then instead of adding miles, I'm going to work on the time that it takes me to run 4 miles. So the rest of the weeks will be trying to beat myself, you know, or be faster than the week before. So then the final tip, you know how you decide like, well, today I'm only going to run or do the Stairmaster or the elliptical for 25 minutes. Instead of putting the number in, the time in, and watching it count down or mm-hmm. build up, don't do that. Build a playlist that is for the exact time that
yes.
you are hoping to run or be on the elliptical or on the Stairmaster, and then let the playlist run out and let that be your timer on when to get off the machine. I did that this week, and yo, it was magnificent because I had the towel over the screen, so I didn't even know, and I had my playlist of, you know, the meditation by Goldlink.
Yes.
I even had some
oh,
Lion
yes,
Babe.
Hey.
Yeah, which I'll wait for listens lately. I had some
yes.
Lion Babe songs that I recently discovered, and I was like, yo, these are amazing for the treadmill, because you know how she does like the dance tracks mm-hmm. and they'll kind of be like techno remixes. Yo, those, what else did I put? Lemon by Pharrell, the song he has with MIA, and I think Andre 3000 maybe. That's in it, like hype, just hype, hype, hype. Heavy bass, really fast drums.
You gotta add my Latin trap songs on there.
Oh,
now.
You know I'm gonna have to add, but that's the thing. I only added as much as I know I can finish running.
Right.
You know, so the stronger I get, and obviously as the weeks progress and my miles go up, because I'm adding 0.5 every week, I'll add another song and keep adding a song. So it's almost like the playlist is growing with my strength and my endurance. And it's just a cool way to mentally trick your mind out of telling you you're tired. So you'll be so busy jamming to the songs that you won't even think so hard about how far into the run you are.
Yeah.
So it's just a cool trick. And it uses music, which we love. And
you just helped me out.
Right?
I'm about to make... So first of all, what I do is I make like an hour, 2 hour playlist. And like the first 30 to 45 minutes is things that I know that I would run to. And the rest of it is just crunk ass shit for whatever. But now I feel like I want to make like a playlist for each gym day.
Yes.
And then do it
based
that way.
On your sets. Like if you know you only want to be at the gym for an hour... Make a playlist that's only an hour long. Start the playlist as soon as you are starting your circuit or whatever your workout is, and do not stop until the very last second of the very last song.
Yeah.
And you feel so accomplished, you know, and then it's in alignment with your favorite jam, so you get to kind of cultivate and custom make the vibe of your workout. It's helpful to watch. You're going to be like, this is so much better than staring at these damn numbers.
And they always be red most of the time.
Right. Ugh, the little digital dials.
Right, so that's it. That's just a little body tip. The rest of the tips for this month are more than likely going to be body and health-based because this is kind of what I'm focused on. So as I'm figuring out my journey, hopefully my tips will help you figure out yours. That's it for this week's wellness segment.
Yeah.
Now let's jump in to Mr. Music Man.
All right. The Music Man, and I am back with a very, very special edition of The Music Man. It is Valentine's Day if you're listening to this episode on the day of its release. So I want to start this segment off with a cute icebreaker.
You better not ask what I think you're about to ask either.
What do you think I'm about to ask?
Who would be our Valentine?
No, what kind of songs we listen to when we, you know...
You would be happy with that question.
Well,
Dustin.
Yes, but in a very unconventional sense. Can you think of a song that you love that wouldn't have shit to do with Valentine's Day, but if you heard it on Valentine's Day, you would be like, damn. Like, if imagine you on a date with like your significant other or something or whoever. Maybe it's a new person.
I'm sorry, I can't do that.
You just out, and somebody comes up to you.
That's our boundaries, man.
Look, your imagination's boundaries, right? So somebody walks up to
my
imaginary
heart's
you.
That's it.
And they just got a rose. And then you hear a song. Okay. So they come up to you with a rose, and you ain't even into them. Hey, but you hear a song playing in the background, and you're like, damn. Like this is it. Like, this is a good one for Valentine's Day. So it could be a cute guy that walks up. It could be an ugly guy that walks up. But it's something that you would listen to and be like, this ain't a Valentine's Day song, but this could be the shit. Pori Ejemplo.
Mm-hmm.
Not a love song at all. But...
If you say J Balvin...
No. Oh. This is very awful. I should not have laughed there. But I will never forget... When Kelly Rowland dropped Dirty Laundry,
and you know, she was on the floor hollering. What did she say?
No, it was about, well, the song I was told was about domestic abuse in a prior relationship. And then, there was a part of it that was that. And then there was another part of it where they were talking about, you know, her, why she had to bring Beyonce into it or something. Like, it was like a whole little thing about it. But the song sounds sexy as fuck.
Oh my God.
So, I remember being out somewhere, and I was like, damn, this is the song. And I heard it before, but I couldn't really hear it, and I Shazammed it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is Dirty Laundry. Y'all are playing this right now. Like, and the song is sexy, so I could see why they would think that. But it wasn't a Valentine's song. Like, this was a couple years ago, and it was, like, a Valentine's thing. And it was, like, on the playlist. Like, it was, like, lovey-ass songs, like, old-school songs. And then, like, this new-school song, but it was Kelly Rowland's Dirty Laundry. And I was like, this is not a good song to play for love. But I could see why somebody might be like, damn, this is a really good song like that I would love to hear, because I remember the first time I heard that song, I remember I body rolled. And then I started listening to the words and I was like, this ain't a song you're supposed to body roll to.
Yo, you know why I'm dead right now? This is going to... I hope XD is listening. So...
Oh, God.
There was
Shout out to XD.
There was a song that XD was saying, like, I don't remember how we got into it, but we were talking about songs that we love that are, like, really vibey and, like, put you in the mood. I love XD. Like, y'all know I love him. He makes me laugh. Even thinking of his face right now. So he mentioned Brave Bird by Amel LaRue. And I was like, XD, have you ever read the lyrics? He's like, no. He looked at me like, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So what are the lyrics, friend?
In a land far away where the sun doesn't spare a soul, and a twisted tradition has a girl in a stranglehold, lies a desert with the footprints of little girls with a secret of a pain that you and I could never know.
Right,
so
here,
it's literally about genital mutilation in different parts of the world. But if you listen to it, Brave Bird is really vibe. You know, Mel LaRue is like really vibey and kind of ethereal, but he was saying how he played that song to relax. And I was like,
oh my God.
And to this day, when he brings that up, like, I die, because he's like, y'all, I was listening to the most. Like, when I tell you there was a disconnect between his vibe and what the song was talking about.
But that happens so much. Like, that really goes back to when we were talking about Frank Ocean, like, it unlocking something different. Like, right. Sometimes you'll hear a song and you'll be like, damn, this is a good song, but you don't know why you like it. It might
especially
be because...
Especially if you don't read the lyrics.
Especially if you just vibe into it and you don't know what they're talking about in full. Like, if you like just the hook.
A Janet song.
Oh, no.
I can't even. He got me, and he wasn't even going to keep going. I just thought it was funny in the Kelly Rowland song. Not funny as in ha-ha, but funny as in ironic. You know, somebody's going to get me for this.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, she said, while my sister was on stage killing it like a motherfucker, I was enraged, feeling it like a motherfucker. Bird in a cage, you would never know what I was dealing with. Went our separate ways, but I was happy she was killing it. Bittersweet, she was up, I was down. No lie, I feel good for her, but what do I do now? Forget the records. Off the record, I was going through some bullshit. Post-survivor, she on fire. Who want to hear my bullshit? Fast forward, let's do this dirty laundry. Like, I remember listening to the song.
And jamming.
And her being like, like freaking to be and everything. But, ooh. Like, Kelly finna get that, into yes. it.
Meanwhile, she's and hurting. This is what? Like us dancing, little Uzi sad, but.
Well, you know, he talked, oh, well, there are some other, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of these rappers.
All of it.
Okay, but a lot of these singers singing these songs about niggas not being shit and making it sound good as fuck, too.
Like your Future.
No, but look at Kalani. She had that song Niggas, and it team. Sound good as fuck, but it's fucked up. She said, like, niggas gonna be niggas. Like, that's not empowering. That's not like, I mean, maybe if you're like, well, niggas gonna be niggas, so I guess I know better now. But it's not like, never mind. Dustin, what's your pick?
Oh, no.
So, you know, this is purely for the sake of the game that we're playing.
Amen.
Okay? Oh, no. No disrespect intended to nobody.
Oh,
and
no
celestial bodies. But I want to say that, because it's all intertwined here, Be Encouraged by Fred Hammond is the sexiest gospel song that I've ever heard in my life. It's just a good, you know what I'm saying? It's got
the
a good beat.
Gospel.
You know what I mean? Be encouraged. Boom, boom.
Stop
you know
it.
No matter
no.
what's going on.
Y'all, he boom, is boom, body rolling. Boom.
And he'll make it all right.
And I mean,
it's the jam. You know what I mean? And you can't help it. God and Me by Erica Campbell.
Now,
and
God and Me was a twerk song.
God and Me by Erica Campbell and She Who Must Not Be Named was a great. Yes. Everybody on the face of the earth that has heard that song has had to stifle a hip roll. Okay. Everybody, God and Me is the jam. And not only that, they play it in the clubs. They played it. I was at a party like 2 weeks ago, and I put it on my Insta story because the DJ played it. And I was like, ow, but what you don't know is when you come home. I was like, because it's the jam like
at
that.
At the club,
at
they
the
played
club.
It.
Yes.
I am not mad.
At the club.
Maybe I need to add that to my gym run.
Listen, it'll get you down the track.
Look, that might be, that's the one to start. That might be the track to start.
The song opens with her saying.
We going to praise this workout.
The song opens with her saying, I just want to tell the truth now.
Yep.
So come on, when you running like, here we go, shit.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm going to let y'all know how that works out.
Gospel music, baby.
You know, to tie both of those together, mm-hmm. and, you know, Kelly Rowland being Destiny's Child and gospel music, Michelle Williams stayed with something.
Okay.
And I always knew she was rapping about, or talking rapping, Michelle Williams.
Stop This always, Car was the jam.
I always knew she was talking about the Lord, but there were some times it was like, this is a little too sexy. Like her verse on Cater to You.
I mean, hey.
I mean, Cater
Ain't
to
no
You.
No greater love.
Okay. a whole, complete, encompassing love. Let me tell you something. Michelle Williams has done a great job of keeping her life where it belongs.
Yes.
Like, she makes music with Destiny's Child that's appropriate for being in that group. She makes her own solo gospel efforts that are appropriate for that.
Right.
And I totally respect that. And I think she's such a talent. And that album, Unexpected, has some shit on it. Because Stop
Lucky,
This Car was, ooh, Lucky.
Lucky Girl. The
what?
The
it should have been a whole song.
First of all, there was the interlude, and then there was
I
the
like
whole
the
song.
Interlude.
The interlude does sound.
Been a whole song.
Look, I was going to say,
you
the
know,
interlude.
I've never
dude,
heard.
Ooh.
I've never heard her albums. They're incredible.
Well, Unexpected was good.
Yeah, Unexpected stands
gospel.
On its own.
Is that the okay? I'm gonna look it up.
The first,
but I like gospel music. Yeah.
Well, you know, the well, first I, one was Heard a Word.
The way Dustin said it, the rest of them.
You know, the first album was Heard a Word, and she was singing under the tree. You know,
yeah, I know that one.
See,
bananas.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. She does not sing like that.
You ain't gonna give her gospel with an indie accent. Okay.
Bananas and avocado gospel.
Okay.
Amen.
Avocado. Michelle, you do not sing like that.
No, she can sing her ass off.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to check it out because I would love to add some songs to my treadmill playlist.
You would like it because I think, is it Rico Love that was doing
that? Oh, shout out to Rico Love.
Because the beats are real.
It's a producer. I don't know.
I think it is Rico Love because Rico Love did that that project with Trina, or them songs with Trina. I was like, Rico Love.
Okay.
You know, sometimes he calls me on
versatility.
It is Rico Love, I believe.
More than any other girl in the world. I was like, come on, Michelle. You know, I can't sing like she can sing, but you know, she was up taking it down. Okay. But that is my sexy selection.
Cute.
Michelle Williams, giving it up to the Lord, but it could be used in, I mean, giving it up for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Not giving up the praise.
Dustin's
giving praise. You know what? I can't. And then you over
giving
here
it
doing
up for the Lord. I thought I pushed the
like, you know what someone
was
like, let's give it up for the Lord. Let's, you know, round of applause. Amen.
Giving it up for the Lord.
If I were you, I would say yes.
That's a whole new kind of Sunday school.
Anyway, that is a whole new kind of Sunday school.
What's the green leaf?
Amen.
I can't do it.
You gotta reach down there, friend. I don't know where that lady be going, but she be down
oh,
there.
Yeah, oh yeah, yes you do. Yes, you do know where she be going. What show is this?
Oh no. Oh no.
That's what she.
How did we get here?
Before we move on to the listens lately, I just wanted to talk very quickly about a couple of people.
I'm giving you a soundtrack.
Oh, oh yeah.
That's my version of Migos ad libs.
Okay, give me my
wait.
Okay, come on.
How
come
much
on.
Would y'all die if one of the Migos did that as an ad lib?
Man,
how much would y'all? Die?
Okay, which one is gonna do it, friend?
Take Off. He's the only one that would do it.
No, he.
Offset
and
Quavo
one.
Got their own thing going on right now. Quavo is the only one that would be available to
not available.
Quavo. Take off is the only one that would be available to, you know, spend time in the church house.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. As long as y'all are having fun.
Take Ooh. Off. That's about going to heaven.
Oh.
All right. So the playlist pledge for this month has been completed. Wow. How
when I go
do
to,
I
you know
forward?
What? Let me just
how
say this one thing.
We get it?
When I
Bitch,
go to heaven,
bus.
You know what I'm saying? If that's how this goes down or whatever, like. I don't want to, like, go, like, be laying down on the, like, the
oh
what's the
God.
Thing that push you out, like, the gurney or the stretcher? The thing everybody always pass.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be, I don't want to go like that. Like, let me be standing up and just, like, get my wings. And, like, I want to shoot up, you know, like, standing straight up like a jetpack. You know what I'm saying? And I thought about Takeoff. That's why, you know, because that means going to heaven.
No.
So I don't want to float up laying down on my back. I want to go up with some dignity, standing up like I got a jetpack on
don't.
And just shoot up there. That's all. If I can make that sort of humble request.
Not that's all.
To whom? Never mind.
It may
never
concern.
Okay. And with the bow, and look, we'll seal the envelope and put the stamp on
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You ain't shit.
Save us. Keep going.
The playlist pledge, by the time you listen to this, will be out. I want to get into the listens lately, but I also wanted to highlight a couple of people from the playlist pledge.
Yes.
Just because I listen to a lot of shit all the damn time. And so it pushed the playlist back when I have to listen to new things. So I want to talk to you about some new artists that I was able to put on the playlist a little bit, but I wasn't really able to get all the way into their projects because I want to deliver the music to the people. I wanted to start with Raven Lynae.
Yes.
How familiar with Raven Lynae are you?
I would say very, according to their reaction.
I love her.
Sticky is my jam.
I just tweeted the song out last week.
Have you seen the video for it?
I have. It's very Donna Summer, which I love.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, yes. The hair, the styling, the vibes. She's so cool.
So Raven Lynae, I first heard of her, I don't remember if it was on a Chance the Rapper project, but like somewhere in that camp, like she was on something or with somebody and I heard of her. But she's an R&B singer and songwriter from Chicago, so I think that is why it was Chance.
And touring with SZA.
And tour with SZA, yeah. So she's a member of the Zero Fatigue crew, whatever that means. But
they don't wear camouflage pants.
Oh my God. And her project, the EP is called Crush, and I believe it's all produced by Steve Lacy.
Mm. Oh, he did the whole thing?
The whole thing, yeah. That's he's on like every track. Cool. It's so good.
Yeah. But you're right. She toured on with SZA and No Name, who's also somebody else that I talk about on the Control Tour. Yeah, their whole little like set is cool. I think I could spend some time in Chicago. I've always wanted to live there for a little bit.
Friendsonlive.com, baby.
It's a cleaner version of New York to me. That's how I always view Chicago.
Yes.
With better food, I think.
They call it the second city. So maybe second to NYC. Maybe I need to spend some time out there. But yes, as you said, I'm reading some of Raven Lynae's Wikipedia. Some of the associated acts, as we said, were SZA, No Name, and Steve Lacy, who did the whole project. And also Smino, who's somebody I said I want to hear more from this year. So look out for Raven Lynae. The name of the project, like Fran said, is called Crush. It's the EP. It's only 5 tracks. Super, super dope. I put a couple of those tracks on the playlist pledge for this month. and reminding me of Goldlink, I wanted to highlight Brent Faiyaz. Is that how you say his last name?
Oh, yeah. Didn't he release a new single?
Yeah, it's called Make Love.
Yeah.
And for a second, I thought that it was like a continuance. He dropped a project late last year called Sonderson, and the project had the same cover. So I thought, I don't know if it's like a bonus track from that or just another single he's dropping. But check out Brent Faiyaz. That's his name for his single, but he's also part of a collective, if you will. I think it's like him and a producer and whatever else, and they make the group Sonder, and they do like really vibey R&B music as
Can
well.
Can you spell his last name for people?
Yes. So it's Brent, and I keep saying Faiyaz, which is probably incorrect, but it's Faiyaz. The new single is called Make Love, but his last project, it was called Sonderson, Sonder, and then Son, which is 2 words. Check out the project. There were some good-ass songs on there, too. Gold Over Love. And the reason I said Gold Link, because he's on that song Crew.
Yeah, he sings the hook.
Yeah, him and
So you already know him just from that record, because that record was huge.
That's him singing. And the rapper Shy Glizzy also dropped something recently that I will get into. It's on the playlist. But before I get into that, I also want to give a shout-out to Tinashe. She dropped another song, Faded Love. I like
Shout
it
out.
Featuring Future. Faded Love, it kind of gives me a vibe that reminds me of like what she was doing with the project that she last dropped, Night Ride, which was like a mixtape slash project album anyway. But we're still waiting on, because I just said Night Ride, I was about to say Fantasy Ride. We're still waiting on Joy Ride, which I hope does not end up like Fantasy Ride and just keep getting pushed back forever. But it's Aquarius season, so I just got finished listening to Tinashe's first project, Aquarius. So whenever I hear new music from her, I'm excited and happy. But love this song. Definitely love the visual from the last one, except for the wig. That was the only problem that I had with the last video. Outside of that, it was a good song. Offset had a cool last verse on it. But wasn't my favorite, wasn't the best, but I'm digging this and I will get the project. Speaking of projects that you should cop, I wanted to talk about Ray Louise for a second. Now, I talk about a lot of people on here, but I don't talk about like labels or anything like that because I think some people are bored by that or they just don't care. But Ray Louise, she's part of a collective called Dream Loud out of Atlanta. It's independent. She's independent. The whole project, it pretty much, you know, wasn't paid for outside of like the engineers and producers. All of her money went into it. And I think she's only 22.
Baby.
Right? So Ray Louise is spelled, I'm showing two words here. It's R-E with the accent on top. And then the second word is Louise, but with an X for the O. So L-X-U-I-S-E. The project is called Nostalgia 1990X. 10 tracks, original music, no popular features. So you'll really get a concept of who she is. She's not trying to sell you with the name. I always like when people that are independent don't feel like they have to like, oh, I got to get this type of feature for my project to sound like something or for someone to listen to it. There are people like me that know when you have talent, I will just listen to your project.
Just cause.
On the last month's Playlist Pledge, I dropped her song Only If You're Ready, which is O-I-Y-R. So it will not be on this month. But when I dropped it last month, it was only on Apple Music, not on Spotify. So go back and check that track out. It's her singing her ass off. Then it's like big band. Then the track just starts to go really, really crazy. Outside of that, I just wanted to really highlight some people on the Playlist Pledge for the people that don't get the time to listen to the Playlist Pledge. The last person I want to shout out, and then we can get into the listens lately for real, I want to shout out Victoria Monet. Victoria Monet put out a single last year called Ready. She was on like one of T.I.'s albums as like a singer. She's toured with like Ariana Grande. She's done a whole lot, and I believe she is, wow, I don't know how old she is. Oh, she was born in 93, so she is really young.
She's dope, though. And so is Ray Louise, by the way.
Yes. And Ray Louise is actually from Detroit, but they're out of Atlanta. And I feel like Victoria Monet is out of Atlanta, too. Or she's from Georgia, but like out of L.A. probably. But maybe still in Atlanta now. Who knows? Because she's working with T.I. and all these people. But just people that I want you all to talk about. So Victoria Monet dropped a single called Freak, and her project comes out later on this month. And that's all I want to talk about separately, and we can get into everybody else's listens lately.
Well, the Lion Babe record I was saying, I just discovered that I added to my treadmill playlist.
Hey.
It's called Hit the Ceiling, and it says, I don't know if it's Zicomo or Zicomo with Lion Babe. It's the Zicomo remix, but I also have the Kenny Dope remix. So it's two different remixes that you'll see on Spotify. And the song is called Hit the Ceiling. And they are, whew, but it's very transcendental. You know, it's like if you are in that mood where you kind of want to, whether you're like smoking, drinking, or just meditating, relaxing, just whenever you need to zone out, it's a perfect zone out record. You know how them tech songs be like 8 minutes long?
Yes.
And it's just a lot of bass and percussion. Oh, it's just so good. It's very good. And I love it. It helps me, like, get into a good headspace this week. So I would suggest that you guys check that out.
I like Lion Babe anyway.
Yeah,
and her shows are, like,
Vanessa
amazing.
Williams' daughter.
She performs her stuff.
Yeah, she's dope. What about you, Dustin?
I've basically just been listening to New Orleans bounce versions of everything. Yes. Fell down a rabbit hole on Apple Music the other day.
Too.
Oh, friend.
I forgot. Big
Frida, are you
kidding me?
If you go on Apple Music, right? And you look up New Orleans Bounce Radio, there's literally a, think like Smooth Grooves or like, you remember them CD collections where it's like volume one, volume two, volume
the
three.
Commercial.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have a, it's
I
a
call music.
Whole series called New Orleans Bounce Radio. What? And then it's another guy named B Ford that has a whole bunch of albums of New Orleans Bounce music. And all of this stuff is on Apple Music. So B Ford, B Ford's albums are called Bounce City Volume and then whatever volume it is. Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They go on and on. But those
what
New Orleans Bounce Radio
on?
5. New Orleans Bounce Radio and the B Ford. And I'll send you links. But New Orleans Bounce Radio and the B Ford albums.
Dope.
Yeah. Amen.
That's it.
Well, in the spirit of bounce, I also want to just shout out very quickly on Twitter at Get Out the Box and at Kayla in Progress.
Oh, I'm familiar with both of them.
They both tweeted us.
They're dope.
To let us know that Spotify they spotlighted Frida. The Sound of Bounce is a playlist on Spotify that Big Frida got
already
to
know.
Curate. So
that's going to be me on the treadmill. Ass everywhere. Ass everywhere.
Hey. So if you want to find that playlist, it's Spotify's link, which is spotty with an I dot F-I for the fi / Sound of Bounce. If you have Spotify, just search for Big Frida and the playlist will come up.
Dope
or
as hell.
Sound of Bounce and the playlist should come up. That is really it. Oh, let me just quickly shout out a couple of people. Mariba is one more person I want to shout out. Mary Mariba, but now
shout
she's just Mariba.
Okay.
Black Truck is a single that she dropped, and
it's, and it is good.
I don't even gotta talk. I love you. Just finish my sentences. It's just the shit.
It's
like
good.
It's like a nice dope vibe, and I don't know. I have a special relationship with Black Trucks anyway, and when people make songs about them, like Kalina many years ago dropped that mixtape, and she had the song called Matt Black Truck,
yes.
And that was the shit. So now Mariba's Black Truck is out, and this is the shit. So I have to shout that out. I also want to shout out on the visuals end, because I do still watch music videos from time to time. I may have talked about this young lady last week. I don't remember. I get so high. Diamond White. I don't know if I shouted her out, but Diamond White has a song called Cleo Patron. And the song is it's like a R&B pop. And I've been really, really feeling pop lately. I was talking about Madison Beer. I actually just downloaded Justine Skye's project. But Cleo Patron is the song by... Cleo Patron is a song by Diamond White. And in the video, because she's a beautiful brown girl, she's got like her and it's like two or three, or it's like three or four of the girls. And some of them are brown as hell. And they all out like looking good as fuck. And I just thought that was super, super dope. And it was a dope visual. And I really like the fucking song. It's called Cleo Patron, Drunk on Me. He think I'm his Barbie, but I'm not because I'm Cleopatra. And then she's saying he's drunk on me and she's singing her fucking ass off. Like, I just love when someone can just sing and go off. So I wanted to shout them out. And last but not least, Bum Bum Tom Tom is a song that I've been listening to.
What?
I know some of y'all are like, what the fuck did you just say? So if y'all are into like, I feel bad. I don't even know. It's like Brazilian Baie funk, if you will.
I love Brazilian music.
So you're going to love this.
I have
this.
A story about this. It's I'll tell funky. Y'all later, though.
You're going to love this because it's funk. It's a funky-ass track and it goes the fuck off. But it has MC Fiyote. J Balvin, which a lot of you people should be familiar with.
Yo, let me tell you, because I lived in Brazil in 2003 to 2004, and I remember in the clubs in Brazil, they call it funky. Woo! That, you know, I'm actually really sad because I had so much music from, like, the favelas, like, the actual dudes from the block, like, gave
yes.
me hella CDs, but it was fucking CDs. Them shits are, like, dead
damn.
Now. Yeah, I've tried to... They didn't make it from 2003, but it was so much music. So hearing it be infused, Pharrell did a couple of things with funky music years ago. Even with Khalees, like Milkshake,
oh my God,
and like
yes.
a lot of those records, they kind of played around with that sound or like borrowed
you know
from
what?
It.
You're right.
Yeah,
now that
it's funky. It's
what
Brazilian.
The hell?
Mm-hmm. It's just people weren't aware. But now, when I heard the J Balvin when you were playing it, I'm like, dude, that's Brazilian.
Yep.
That's
and
cool
I'm in
as
love.
Hell.
It makes me want to go.
One of my favorite genres of music. You guys have to look it up. There are a lot of records on YouTube, too. You could just write funky or baile funk,
yes.
Brazil.
And if you need to find it, it's B-A-I-L-E funk.
Yeah.
So that's it. this track, it's a five-way collaboration with American artist Future, Colombian J Balvin, Brit Stefflon Don, and mm-hmm. Spaniard Juan Magan, becoming his biggest single to date.
It's a record.
So, Stefflon Don, right. who actually we talked about a couple weeks straight, I feel like, she actually dropped her song, Hurting Me. Or
which
the,
I love. I talked about that last week.
And then the remix came out with French, which is...
Well, that's what I was talking about last week.
Right. And that's what I was talking about the same thing the week before. We talked about it a couple weeks in a row. So now here we are again talking about her ass. But
again,
on this,
for the third.
But now, this time she's rapping on
a
this
testament.
Track. So on this track she's rapping. You don't get to hear her sing and be the bomb bad bitch singing that she is. You get to hear her be the bomb rap bitch that she is on here.
With and, that Caribbean accent, she's so dope.
I love it.
I want to hear this song.
I love
good.
It. And then, yeah, I just have nothing bad that I'm listening to right now. Rich the Kid dropped Plug Walk. I can't stop listening to that. But a lot of these songs are going to be on the playlist for the Playlist Pledge this month. So check it out. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you're playing for Valentine's Day. Tell me what you're not. And that is it for the Music Man section. Let's go on over to TV Land. That's Dan.
Mr. TV Land.
Hey.
Thank you for that musical interlude. The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Previously on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
They spent the week preparing for their cash trip to Barcelona. Of course, it was the typical shenanigans of who's in, who's out, who's going, who's not. Kim Zolciak did not go. She didn't attend. She demanded to bring her husband, Croy, who literally drops her off to set and sits in the car while she's drinking or whatever. you know,
her Uber driver.
That, like, literally, that's what Nene called him, her Uber driver.
No.
And so, because she couldn't bring Corey, she just kind of elected not to go.
Why do they always go on these trips?
And they know they can't stand each other. It's part of the contract. And the thing is, we get it.
Beautiful backdrops.
Like Barcelona, but which there's going to be a really good fight there. I don't know if it's next week or the week after, but Marlo and Portia have an incident in Barcelona, and I'm looking forward to that. But
okay.
But this week they spent time preparing for the cast trip. Mama Joyce had to sit down with Portia Williams, which was very awkward to me because for someone who has been so definitive in her opinions and in her outcries for respect and demanding that people are kind to her on a certain level, she was very cruel to Todd. Now, after Todd, Candy's husband, died, we saw... excuse me, not after Todd died. After Todd's mom passed away, we saw Mama Joyce, change her way, right? I know, we ain't putting that on Todd.
No, not at all.
So, after Mama Joyce... We saw Mama Joyce change the way that she embraced him. She was much more, she was nice, to him at that point.
Right.
You know, and then Ace came along, one of the cutest kids in the world.
She finally got with the program.
So after the whole lesbian gate rumor last year, she sits down with Portia this year and starts talking about Todd. She sits down with Portia and she asks her, did you really believe that shit that Phaedra told you, that Candy and them about drugging you? Did you really think they was going to do that? And she sent out a bunch of passive-aggressive digs. And then she starts saying how she told Phaedra she wanted to choke her because she hooked Candy up with the help. And that Candy turned to... And so... Portia responds by saying, it worked out. They got married. Mama Joyce sat on TV and said, Candy turned a lemon into lemonade.
She did not.
What?
And I get it.
I know you don't watch the show, Spring. You don't know Mama Joyce now. They showed the clip before of her sizzle reel of her going off. Because she was
throwing shoes.
Threatening voicemails. Talking about she would drag Carmen down the damn driveway.
This, for me, was a little bit different from her typical antics, though, because she had come so far with her relationship with Todd. And I guess because the change was immediately evident after the passing of his mom, I had sort of an emotional attachment to their newfound close relationship.
Yes.
I loved the fact that she, from what we saw on the show, kind of stood in the gap a little bit. I don't know. I have a soft spot for stuff like that. And so I love the fact that she had assumed that role as evil as she had proven herself to be before.
Right.
So for her to regress and say those things in conversation with Portia Flatline Williams, of all people, I just couldn't believe.
And I'm flatlined.
You know, I couldn't believe that she did that. So that was interesting to see. Marlo got drunk and was burping at the dinner table.
That shit was funny.
It was funny, but it was also damn, Marlo. That's nasty. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what?
She was, I guess she was drunk. She was drunk. She was a drunk burp.
But it was
what was funny was she blamed it on Cynthia. After she
Like, cutely. She was like, that was you.
Cynthia was like, Marlo. She's like, Cynthia. Cynthia, that was you. It was funny.
It was.
But, you know, other than that, it's just good to see the ladies, you know, getting along for the most part, with the exception of Portia. Portia should have known this was going to be a difficult season for her, coming off the heels of what she willfully participated in last season. So there was some things that she was just going, there was some storms she was just going to have to weather. And, you know, to see that happen has been great. But I'm really looking forward to the cast trip episodes in Barcelona. Mm. I'm very upset that Married to Medicine did not come on this week.
Also,
I'm also upset that Love & Hip Hop New York, although I'm tired, it did not come on this week. There was a special instead about the love in Love & Hip Hop.
Which they could keep.
Well, which they would have to find first in order to keep. And so watching this special about these relationships on the show that have completely broken, it just was something to see. So television was a little short this week because there were other things on. But, yeah, we're going to move on because we have to go.
Can I just talk about one thing really fast?
Well, I'm going to talk about two more if you're going to talk about one. I was trying to cut the shit short so we can get out of here.
Well, it's not TV, really. It's like TV adjacent.
Yes.
I was spending my time, unfortunately, not standing with Monique and watching Netflix. And Altered Carbon, I had to check it out.
Somebody told me about that.
I keep seeing the...
the guy in the zip.
Yes. On the splash page.
I just want to say, Netflix, y'all are doing some bullshit, you know, with Monique, what they was talking about with the comedians and whatnot.
You know, that show.
No, I just want to, I do want to be very clear. Like, that is fucked up that they have done that to Monique and Wanda Sykes and black people in general. Fuck y'all for doing that. But y'all have stepped up y'all's content, which is one thing that was complained about for a very, very long time. And I feel like they have these surges and these waves where they do, like, be like, all right, we'll give y'all some good content. Like, when we started seeing Black Mirror and Grace and Frankie, like, all these shows, it was like, okay, y'all are putting money up and y'all are giving us good quality stuff. So Altered Carbon was a show that I watched, and it was really, really fucking good. I just want to give a really quick shout-out to Renee Elise Goldsberry. I always talk about how we don't see a lot of these black women. Renee Elise Goldsberry, she was on, she I think lastly was on Broadway, Hamilton, but she's actress, has worked for a very long time. She did the fuck out of that on her, as her character.
What is it about?
It's a lot.
It's sci-fi?
It's sci-fi as fuck. And it's a lot. It's good. I watched, it's 10 episodes, like a 45 to an hour each, like somewhere in that window, but they're good. And I watched the whole series.
Dustin, let's binge it.
It's getting really good reviews. Are we going to start watching it?
Let's binge it.
And
then you have to tell us about it.
Okay, binge
it. It's good. It's
we can talk about it next
what
week.
What am I coming into? Because now I'm gonna have nightmares.
Come
and shit. Y'all know
on.
No,
that's sci-fi.
It's not. It's sci-fi, but it's not,
and then
like
throwing black.
Y'all trying to make
it.
I was trying to say, y'all was trying to make me watch Boogers on the Mirror or whatever it's called.
Have you seen? It's more along the lines of like Minority Report and I, Robot and like stuff like that, like futuristic
like post
action.
A cop. What is, you yeah, hear me? A cop,
right?
Post-apocalyptic.
I was gonna help you, friend. There's some cops in it, so it's it is post-apocalyptic.
When that happens to me, I just say what comes naturally. So I would have just said post office because it just would have came. It's like, you know, I can't say it, so post office.
Post-apocalyptic. Say so, that three times.
So for all the nerds out there that watched, she was in The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, if anybody watched
okay.
that.
I definitely did.
Along with Oprah, but Altered Carbon. You did that, black woman.
Okay.
I just love when I could see somebody just doing some shit. And, like, her role wasn't even the biggest. But she was fucking her role up. Because it's a lot of different moving parts that happen in the series.
Yeah.
But I just really enjoyed her
I'm
character.
In.
Quell,
I'm
going
to try to find a way to watch it. Oh, I forgot that Netflix lets you download episodes now. I could watch that on my flight.
For some... Oh, well, yep. You sure can. Because that's the Netflix program. I was
you
gonna
sure
say,
can.
There we go.
And to tie this all the way together, speaking about shows that are based on futuristic or sci-fi
things.
I don't trust him.
And that are coming from... I'm telling you. And that are coming
Damn
from
friend,
Netflix.
You already know.
That are coming from Netflix. I would like to redeem the respect of my co-hosts by legitimately saying
that
there's a new show coming called The Umbrella Academy, starring none other than my favorite, Mary J. Blige, as...
He was
serious this time.
He was.
I was.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Wow.
Blige is set to play a hit woman named Cha-Cha, a ruthless and unorthodox hit woman...
I love it
...who
already.
...travels through time to kill assigned targets.
Ooh.
Yes. The show is a 10-episode live-action show debuting in 2018, starring Ellen Page, Tom Hopper, Emmy Raver Lampman, and Mary J. Blige. So shout out to my girl.
Shout
and
out to
y'all.
You.
It's Mary J. Blige.
Work, Mary J.
I'm in. I'm ready.
Yeah, and that's it for TV.
That's it. So now let's jump into what you guys want to talk to us about. I'm asking for a friend. What you got for us, Asante?
Let me just say, I thought it was funny as hell earlier. I did Instagram Live before we recorded, and I sent the email for the friendzone at loudspeakersnetwork.com, like I just said it. And someone instantly in the chat said, you know they're going to ask for it. So I'm glad
it's
that...
part of the thing.
I'm glad that everybody knows what time it is. So when I say it, you can laugh as I say it and still email me and ask me where to send questions. But that's okay. So for the last time, the email... It's the friendzone at loudspeakersnetwork.com. Don't email me the question about where to send the emails. With that said, I have an update. And the update is from a pussy popper trying to have a clear mental.
All right, now.
Now, this was the young woman, I've assumed. She had the guy she was hooking up with, and then he got another girlfriend, and then she started hooking up with him again.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, guys. Thank you for your answers. I feel like you guys sat on my bed and held my hand and just talked to me. I cried laughing, but long story short, I cut him off. I ghosted him, then saw him at an event. hit him with a head nod, and kept it pushing. Later, he pulled up at my apartment. Look, I was like, okay, hit him with the head nod, sis. Later, he pulled
up. What did she mean?
No. Dustin.
Well, I don't know. You know the nature of the relationships. I just want to be clear.
No. Okay.
I'm scared
Please
to read the rest of the
going.
Email.
No.
I'm sorry.
Later, he pulled up at my apartment looking like Chris Brown stalking Carucci. And then she put up a picture of...
Oh,
that's him?
No, that's Chris Brown and Carucci.
Oh.
He thought she took a
picture. Oh, Jesus.
If she would have sent him the picture of his ass sitting out there,
she sent a deck. Yeah, like...
You know, they love a receipt. Anyway, he asked me where I'd been and why he hadn't heard from me. I simply told him I was done with this shit and I'm moving on and for him to go on with Shawty Girl. I was told I was being dramatic. Of course, my heart hurts about it, but all in all, I feel like I'm going to be stronger and happy. Now it's just a matter of getting through it. Thanks so much. Love y'all. See, you knew how to get your mental clear. You just didn't want to do it. So now that we put the battery in your back and you've done it, baby girl, you're going to be more than all right.
Oh.
Now, with the actual email, I didn't have the chance to change this person's name, so we'll just say that this is Dylan. Hi, friends. I have a bit of a dilemma, so I'm going to cut right to the chase. Thanks, Dylan. When I was a senior in high school, my mom and I got into a huge fight, which resulted in me being put out over something that I think stemmed from me telling her I was gay. She seemed super standoffish after I told her, and anything that I said to her just seemed to either piss her off or embarrass her. For instance, my school was having an assembly spotlighting black female artists, and at the time, Single Ladies was huge. So I helped with the choreography for the performance. She walked into my room while I was practicing steps and just shook her head in disappointment and asked me if I was serious and said I needed to calm down.
Wow.
Fast forward to current times. I'm 28. I've obtained 2 degrees without her help and just figured out life on my own.
Go ahead.
I've been out her house since high school, and I never once moved back or attempted to move back. Boom and boom and boom. That's what you do, Dylan. Sorry. But she caused a huge strain on my previous relationship because she needed to stay with me.
Wow.
Funny how the tables turn. Anyway.
A good one.
I was in that relationship for almost 7 years, and now that I'm single, I just need some time and space to myself. I finally moved into a house completely alone. But right before I started to move my things into my house, my mom basically guilted me into letting her stay with me again.
What'd she say? I remember I saw you in that room, nigga.
Doing the damn Single Ladies. I was watching you put
Don't
telling
forget,
him to put
I ain't
a ring
never gonna
on
forget
it.
I saw you in that room dancing, nigga. Let me move in.
Is that the Miles Davis voice?
Forget you, nigga. I seen you dancing. Give me a horn, I blow it. I seen you dancing. I'm a jazz
give
singer.
Give me a horn and I'll blow it.
That's how she got on the movie.
Our relationship has changed to business high school.
Dylan, we're not saying your mom is Miles Davis.
No, not by any means. This is the love episode. Y'all, this is agape love in this case. We are not saying that. But what your mama said was...
Our relationship has changed a bit since high school, but I still just need the time and space to myself.
Yes.
Everything she does throughout my house bothers me. She's not the cleanest person, especially since I like things a certain way. But in my home, that's my prerogative.
Oh, this is tough.
The real kicker is that she's not only invading my space, but my younger brother is a part of this weird package deal.
Oh, my.
He's 20, and all he wants to do is smoke weed, play video games, and lay around. This has been going on since August, and I'm officially at the point where I can't take it anymore. I attempted to move and just give them the house a number of times, but life keeps bringing me back home. Don't give away your location now. So I told them that they have until March 1st to find a place, or they are homeless, or there are homeless shelters that would love to have them.
Oh, no, guys.
My oldest brother called me and told me that I can't give up on them, but I haven't had a chance to live my life at all. And now that I'm out of my dead-end abusive relationship, I just want to relax and breathe for a bit, burn my sage, light my incense, and just collect my thoughts and think about my goals.
Amen.
I just want to know, am I doing the right thing by telling them that they just need to go, or am I just being selfish about the whole situation? should I just wait until they're ready to go? Or is actually taking a stance and fighting for what I've earned the right thing to do? Oh, you said I could call you Kay, but I called you Dylan. So what should Kay Dylan do, y'all?
Oh, man. This is such
a plan a party for March 2nd. That's what Kay Dylan should do. I feel like you've done more than enough. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with helping your family. You know what I'm saying? It's something that feels natural for you. But you can't help anybody that's not ready for the help. And it's not anything against what they're doing or the way that they're living. But the kind of help that he's trying to offer them, they're not even open to receiving it. Mm. Because they don't even care about nothing, really. You know what I mean? So you can't, unfortunately, like, you can't only help someone who is able and available to be willing to receive it and do the work that they have to do to sustain the help. So if they're not doing that, then you don't have feelings of guilt or accountability attached to them leaving. Put them out the same way she put you out, and on March 1st when they're leaving, play Single Ladies.
And do the dance.
Oh, no.
And get up in the morning, sliding across the floor, doing Single Ladies.
Make them breakfast and do the dance at the same damn
Remember
time.
The part when Beyonce and them run up the wall? The part when they run up the wall? Jump on their beds in the morning on that part of the choreography. Run up on their beds. That's how you wake them up.
I thought you was going to say run up the wall and run and shut the door on their ass.
This is terrible.
No, but these are jokes. But I don't, to answer your question, I don't think you should feel bad. Unfortunately, this is the reality, and you've extended yourself far beyond what is logical. So
yes,
I know that it's no way that you feel like you can put your mom and them out. I would make sure that they had something else available, but March 1st would be a hard deadline.
Oh, this is terrible.
It is.
It just is. Because, and this is me growing with my own issues with boundaries, so that's why I can see both sides. The part of me that has clear boundaries feels that you should not feel bad because you are an adult, your mom is an adult, your brother is an adult, and everyone has the right to have their own space, pay their own bills. You know, like, you are an adult. She should be able to figure out a situation that isn't dependent on you because it's just not your obligation at this point. So I get that. I get that. And who knows how long she's going to do this if you allow it. They'll just live with you forever. But then there's a part of me that's like, okay, so you tell them to leave. What do you say, March 1st?
The 1st. It's the 1st of the month.
There's a part of my heart that's like, where are they going to go?
Yes.
And that is what makes me kind of ache. But that's honestly not your problem. It's just not.
It's not. I would do everything in my power to have something set up for them. And that's right. Just me keeping it real.
And
I
agree.
Do everything.
That's why I'm like, for me, I cannot put someone out like that. I would have to be like, here are your options, and maybe mm-hmm. give them, like, you know, if I can financially, maybe give them a little bit of money that'll help them kind of like hold themselves down until they figure something out. If I can, I'll do that.
But for
I
me, I guess
that's a tough one because it's a mom.
But she put him out,
right?
Because she didn't like his lifestyle. And right. What happened was she watched him end up living a really good life, a good respectable life, mm-hmm. according to the things that meant something to her, like how he was living, finishing his education, all that stuff. And now he's so good, you know what I mean, that you're willing to let him take the lead as the head of your own household, your kid. So the same one you put out for in the bedroom, now you're up in his house. And you nasty on top of that. And then on top of that, see, for me, this isn't just a situation of him putting his mom and his brother out. They're not doing nothing.
That's the thing, right. too. Like, is it that she doesn't want to work? Is it that she can't? Injured? Yeah. Is it an illness? Like, these are factors that I would take into account. If it's just someone being lazy so that, like, they get to chill and I get to work and pay, that's not happening. If you're injured and can't work or not no longer able-bodied, that's a different
that's
conversation.
To consider, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It would be dependent because if my mom and brother just chilling in the living room when I come home, no, I would feel nothing
it's
telling
unfair.
Them it's March 1st. Because now you're just
using.
Yeah, you're being parasitic I'm cool off that. So I would have to know the factors. Something's like March 1st it is.
You know what? But in the nicest, sweetest of ways, right? Dylan, K. Dylan, this one's for you. I'm going to assume you a badass boss and you got it like that because you said you have tried to give them this house several times right. or a house several times. So I'm going to challenge you in your niceness to say, no, you haven't. Because if you really want to give them this house, move out and leave them there. And I think that if, like, and I'm just saying, if you got it like that, you know, if you ain't got it like that and this is why you need to make the decision, I understand. But if you're trying to give them this house still, I think you should move out and you can hit them with the, you know what, I can pay for this for about one or two more months, but my next spot is way smaller. Y'all can't stay with me. And that way y'all don't have to move right now, but I need to move right now. Like, I need my space right now. And I don't think that you understand the gravity of that, and that's why I have moved my ass out, but I'm giving you a month or two or whatever to get your shit together so you can either start paying for this house and stay in it or move. I just can't do it no more. I love you. I love my brother. You should make him get a job so he can take care of it. You ain't put him out. Maybe you need to put him out so you can make him, you know, pay for all your stuff like you put me out. Now, don't throw salt in your brother's game like that. Hate a salty sibling, but you know some people do it.
Let us know how it work out.
Yes, right. Please write in and don't curse your mom out and send us a video of you doing that because that's mean.
Oh no, don't give them ideas, Asante. That was mad specific. And don't make a video of cursing her out and send it to me at Asante.
You don't check the email
in PM4 format.
Look, you don't know the pictures and videos that people email in. Like, I'd be like, why did you send this?
So is that right?
Yes, we do. Remember that one set of pictures we seen?
Wait. And the fact that you emailed them back. Do you remember that? Yeah.
Why would you show us that?
Like, he was so mad.
I couldn't believe that they sent us that. I could not believe that.
I've never seen you react that way. That was so funny. He was like, give me the phone.
I couldn't believe that.
Dylan K, let us know what's up.
Woo!
For those of you at the end of this segment, the email is thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. Can't say I didn't help you. That's it for this segment again. Moving on to the Black Business of the Week.
So this week's Black Business is called the Not Okay App. When you can't think of the right words, the Not Okay App takes the guesswork out of getting the help and support you need through immediate support from your friends, family, or peer network. You simply open the app, you tap the Not Okay button, and a text message along with your current GPS location will be sent to your pre-selected contacts.
Hey.
Right?
Squad.
So the Not Okay app makes reaching out for help a lot easier, especially tying into the conversation we had earlier about those of us who may struggle with saying we need help or communicating or opening up about the fact that things are not okay right now. The most amazing part of this app that it was created by 15-year-old Hannah, right? And her brother, 13-year-old Charlie Lucas.
Come on!
Apparently, the idea for the Not Okay app came from Hannah, who told her mom she wished there was an app she could use to quickly alert her family and friends when she needed help, either physically or emotionally. Her brother Charlie heard his sister's idea, and using his coding skills, okay?
Wow.
Mind you, he's 13.
Right.
Come on.
That he learned in summer camp, he designed the app for her.
13 years old.
This goes back into the ecosystem we were just talking about. He heard her say, designed it for her. He said, I helped illustrate it out. Hannah said, I helped illustrate it out so he would know what to do. He looked at my drawings and coded it and then told the other coders exactly what I wanted and how I wanted it to look. Charlie said his motivation for building the app came from watching his sister spiral into depression. I saw Hannah depressed. She told me about her idea, and I started wireframing it. Making this app made her feel better, and that made me feel better.
Aww.
So dope. So it's doing amazingly well. She's actually been working with developers from Skype, over Skype, to see the idea turn into reality. So if you guys need help, please check out the Not Okay app, not only to support Hannah and Charlie, but I think it's a good app to have in your arsenal when you know that you're someone who struggles with communicating of when you need help.
Now, I love this.
You can have your pre-selected contacts, and when those days get a little bit harder, send them that GPS location so they can come over and make sure you're okay. Send the Not Okay app. Shout out to Hannah and Charlie, and that's it for this week's Black Business of the Week.
I love that.
I wonder if Shay used that when she was waiting for Dawn to pull up at the parking lot. She was like, I'm not okay. I need backup. And then she showed up.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but I
can't. But you can see it. You see it being used.
Oh, gosh. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
No, I don't. Only that we can't wait to see you at the Friend Zone Live.
Yes!
Atlanta, March 31st. Chicago, May 12th. And L.A., June 16th. Tickets on sale now. TheFriendZoneLive.com. Yes. Holla at a player.
Yeah.
What about you, Asante?
Nope. I will all the same things in Dustin and then more next week.
For me, like I said, my second image out of three for Target will be dropping this week.
Okay, Show It Love.
It's super cute. Show It Love. What else? Oh, I'll be in LA next week for Create and Cultivate. Hopefully you got your tickets. It's an amazing conference for women in business. So I'll be in LA all of next week. And also just holler at me if you see me in the street.
Hey!
You know I love LA and it's actually warm and sunny. Yes. And I'm just like, woo, so ready.
Your body is going to be like a sponge as soon as you step into that sunshine.
Like I'm probably just going to stand outside at the airport for like an hour.
And with your arms up.
Friend,
like you are, yo.
I know you don't smoke, but can you buy some weed? Like, I'm gonna give you some money, buy some weed, and give it to like a homeless person or something.
What?
Just because you were in LA, it's like I feel like you have to buy weed. Like, I'm
not
in LA.
Give it to a homeless person.
You know, someone can
don't
use
do
it.
That. we can get the USPS.
Look, Fran ain't no mule now. I can't ask her to do that.
So that's it for this week's episode. Hopefully, you found a gem somewhere in there, a laugh somewhere in there. As always, we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Happy Black History Month.
Bye.
Hear ye, hear ye. The two dopest queens to ever queen are coming to HBO. So gather around the TV and prepare thyself for the comedy coronation of a lifetime. Watch as Jessica Williams and Phoebe Robinson, aka Two Dope Queens, bring their hit comedy podcast to HBO in a series of four comedy specials starting Friday, February 2nd. Filmed in front of a live audience at the King's Theater in Brooklyn and directed by Tig Notaro, you won't want to miss this, or you'll literally regret it for the rest of your life. Two Dope Queens, weekly on HBO every Friday in February. Happy Black History Month.